so nervous. I brushed my teeth because I was so nervous. Good evening, Europe. Good morning, Australia. Welcome to episode 2 of What's Another Year, Deirdre and Aisling's Eurovision podcast. I'm Deirdre. If Cycle 8 of America's Next Top Model had Jazlyn as their cha-cha diva, well then for Eurovision 2023, I'm cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha diva. And I'm joined by somebody who, girl call universal, you're about to be a star. It's Aisling.
That was such a good intro.
People might get that joke, and that's okay for me.
And that's our target audience.
James, if you're listening, you can stop listening now. The joke I wrote for you has been said.
Congratulations, James. Yeah, delighted to be back. The year has flown, although I know it is a bit earlier this year than last year, Eurovision anyway. So yeah, obviously is less time.
We are 2 weeks away.
Yeah. No, but I mean, Eurovision is earlier this year than it was last year. I think it was
It feels it
for sure. Last year, we got a lot of things wrong. But I speak for both of us here when I say we don't mind that. And we acknowledge straight up the top of this that we're also going to be wrong because we don't understand the typical Eurovision voter. Although this year we did make more of an effort to try and find out what they think. But unfortunately, all that's available online is the opinions of the standard Eurovision superfan, which we already are, so it's unhelpful.
I think we've learned from our problems. I've done more research, which I think is good. I've watched, so my approach to the research for this year was to listen to the songs continuously for about 3 weeks about 3 weeks I've been listening to them for now. And then I have watched mostly the first 1 minute of each live performance, because I don't want to watch all of the performances because I want to still be surprised on the night. But I learned from not seeing Chanel's performance last year before we went into recording the podcast was a big mistake on my part because I completely did not realize what they were bringing. So apologies. Also, mostly apologies to Chanel last year, and I've learned from my mistakes.
Yeah. And we're going to make the exact same mistakes this year, even though we've prepared more. And maybe we deserve more hate than we got last year because we're acknowledging that we've actually done some research this year.
Yeah. We're listening. We're learning.
We're doing one of the two, not both at the same time.
Yeah.
So just like big picture, I think, and I'm interested to know if you agree with me on this, Deirdre, I think the quality of Eurovision 2023 is a lot higher than Eurovision 2022. That's no shade to Eurovision 2022. But I think we have some really, really strong contenders for winning this year. And I think even the mid-range songs are very, very strong this year, a lot of them.
I have really enjoyed listening to this year's songs. I think it's also a very interesting year because there's a lot of songs I love listening to, but if you asked me to sing Latvia's song, I couldn't remember it. They're forgettable, and I don't mean that, obviously that sounds bad, but I really enjoy listening to them. But I actually can't sing them afterwards.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think, like, controversial, I think that we get a lot of that every year.
True.
I think that the top songs are really great this year.
I love a lot of them.
Yeah, I love a lot of them.
Yeah, I'll also say on Friday, the Mr. Eurobash party in Dublin, in the Odeon. And so that also formed part of my research because I saw how some of the songs went down in, like, on a Eurovision dance floor, and it was fantastic. It was an excellent night, and you know, it was great to see like other people also going absolutely insane for the songs that I also love, that I've just been listening to myself in my room for 3 weeks. I was like, oh, you also love that song too, yay.
That's so good. I didn't know they were going to play songs from this year. Wow.
Exciting. They played all of this year's videos, and then from 7 to 9:30, and then from 9:30 to 2:30, it was just Eurovision bangers nonstop. It's great.
Incredible. That's perfect evening.
It was my perfect evening. So congrats to Jonathan, the organizer. I was chatting to him and I said, this is amazing. I feel so seen.
I'm delighted for everybody involved. I'm going to definitely try and go next year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. I definitely recommend it. Yeah. It was brilliant.
So So, do you want to get stuck in?
Will we go?
Semi-final yeah. one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you go first because I think I started last year, so you can go first if you want to. Oh,
well remembered. I have not listened back to the podcast last year since editing it, and I'm going to do the exact same thing with this year's podcast.
Sounds like a plan.
And editing is going to be so loose. I'm going to leave most of this in.
Thank you. Thanks to all our listeners.
Yeah, all five of them. Actually, maybe we should say like top of the podcast. We kept getting emails from Buzzsprout, we used to host the podcast.
Yeah.
For like months afterwards being like, 10 people listen to your podcast. And it ended at like 500 people listen to your podcast. But it was like, that's only like 4 months ago that I think we got that email.
Yeah.
We are probably the only podcast in existence that gets annoyed at new listeners.
Yeah.
Because we're like, why are you listening to this in September?
It's like, who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Why are you listening to this? What's going on?
Do you like, I don't want to know their thoughts, but I'm like, oh, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
So I hope this year we get like more listeners in a way.
Yeah.
We'll do no marketing.
No. Let's do what we did and see what happens again.
We just want our like five friends to listen to this.
Yeah. That's literally it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll tell them all these exact same opinions.
Yeah.
On Eurovision final night.
We will. Thanks for listening to us both now and on the Eurovision final night.
Yeah. And please join us for Instagram Live also.
Oh, yes. This year we're definitely doing Instagram Lives after you get to the final. Yeah. That was so much fun. Yeah. It was so much fun.
So much fun. Yeah. Okay. Let's start. Norway. Alessandra, Queen of Kings. I think this is such a good opener for Eurovision 2023. I love it. Every time it comes on, I'm like, dancing, I'm like, it sticks to your head. And like, I did watch a little bit. I couldn't find the live show, but I did watch it. No, I did find the live show and a bit of the music video. And I love that too. It's like, for me, this feels like a really safe qualification, like straight out the gate. Like, I feel like this is definitely getting out of the semifinal. And I'm kind of a little bit surprised because I tend to prefer when people sing in their native language. I know there's like bits of Norwegian in this, but it's predominantly in English. But I think it really, really works. I also love the costume. I think Alessandra looks like a character from the He-Man cartoons.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah. Initially, I didn't like it. I thought it was too novelty. But then I kept listening to it. And then my friend Iona was saying that her 3-year-old loved it. And I was like, okay, why don't I just listen to this again? And I was like, actually, I'm on board with it. Like, you just have to buy into it.
You do. Yeah.
It's a song about being the Queen of Kings. And like, she's wearing a cape. She's got her hair in a big ponytail. You just got to buy into it. This song could be from any country. It's randomly this year from Norway. I don't know. Like, Norway, it's better from there than their song last year. We can get on board with it a bit more than last year where they had the wolf, give that wolf a banana or something, which I did admittedly like. But this is much better.
It's much better. And actually, I kind of slightly disagree with you. There are some specific Norwegian references in the song. Like, she speaks about like the Northern Lights.
You're dead right.
And then she's, like, the scenes. So like, it is definitely like, you know, if it was in Norwegian, is the only thing that would make this a better song. Now, I want to caveat this and say it's definitely getting out of the semifinal, but for me, it's not making it into the top five.
No.
On final night, but it is quality.
I think it is good. Because, sometimes we don't have enough costume songs. And, like, because sometimes people sing just, like, serious pop songs or, like, songs, whatever. But you have to have the drama and you have to have the costume songs. And Norway is bringing us the costume songs.
They are. And, like, and this is, it's less of a novelty. So I really didn't like the Wolf Banana song. Yeah. But I know it was, like, super popular.
Yeah.
Whatever. This feels like it's a more, not serious song. It is a novelty song, but it's a more serious novelty song. And it's not just making a joke. But it's really catchy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Russia a few years ago, the Russian woman, you know, just like just a song that has like a good beat. That's got like a chanting kind of element to it almost. That's just
Russian woman.
Yeah, that's just female empowerment in the broadest sense.
Yes, I know. Yeah, there's so many like generic feminist anthems this year. And I'm like, they're so generic. You're like, you can do it.
Yeah, generic feminist anthem. So I mean, it's a toot for me for Norway, for sure.
Alessandra is opening semi-final one and saying, let's go, girls.
Yeah, she is. Thank God she is, because it's such a good opener, though. It really is. Yes. I feel like it's going to get everybody pumped.
Yeah. No, I think everyone. I think she'll do a great performance. I think everybody will like it.
I agree.
Super. Great. Next up, then, we've got Malta with the artist is called The Busker and the song is called Dance Bracket, Our Own Party, close bracket. They're singing in English. This is the I couldn't sing you the song. out of the top, out of my head if I tried. It opens with a sax solo, and it's about a guy like going to a party, and I think he's nervous, and I think he wants to wear his own sweater or something to go to the party. The stage performance is kind of fine. They seem kind of cute. It's not a bad song. I don't remember it, but I think it could be great on the night.
It really depends. Like, so my main takeaway from this is the saxophone solo opener sets up a way more interesting song than we actually end up getting. And I do not want to dance to that song. And that is a shame because the song keeps saying, "Do you want to dance?" And I have to keep thinking, no, I don't.
No, you're dead right. The sax solo is channeling Moldova, like the Sunshine Sunstroke Project from Moldova, who famously they have epic sax guy. Yeah, they're not delivering on the sax solo. You're dead right.
They're not living up to the potential of the sax solo. So yeah. I think this is like, for me, this is like a marginal, I could see it qualifying or not qualifying.
Yeah.
Leaning towards non-qualifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a tendency. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it does qualify, it's not going to go to the left side of the board on finals night.
No.
I don't think
so. Like, yeah, I don't think Malta is bothered that this year.
No, I don't think they are. And look, it's not a bad song. Like, they're not like sending like a really shit song, you know.
But no,
it's
no, no. Yeah.
It's just not great. It's not going to win Eurovision.
It's not. Imagine if it did.
That's all I have to say about Malta.
Yeah. Sorry, I just realized, I just looked at the name of the next one and I was like, oh no, sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. I gave it to you.
Samomi Sespava.
Okay, great.
Samomi Sespava, I think, by Luke Black. It's the first slow song of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know I am partial to a witch. And this song seems to be written like point of view, somebody who's about to be like eaten by Dracula. And the staging kind of backs that up. Do you know what I mean though? Like,
oh my God. Oh my gosh.
Like, it's just this like, he's got this beautiful silk blouse. I think it's got a really good beat. It's kind of a more kind of like experimental sound.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up what the lyrics mean, and it means I just want to sleep, which is relatable.
Yep.
And what I did like about it is, like, without having looked it up, and I know some of it is in English as well, but like, it does remind you of like that point in the evening where you're like, I just want to go home. Like, the party is like going on and you're like, I'm still here, but like, maybe I'm a little bit too drunk and I have to, I don't want to get a taxi, but I wish I was at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a fun way.
Yeah. But a great beat.
But with a great beat.
Just,
yeah.
Just to say, sorry.
It's more elected.
Yeah, no, it's from Serbia as the third entry. I liked it. Yeah, it's a techno song about sleeping to ignore everything happening in the world, which we can all get on board with. Good singer, with charisma, stage presence. I just wrote high concept performance, but you definitely described it way better. It's somebody about to be by Dracula.
He's like on an altar at the start.
Yeah,
like, not to like spoil it or whatever.
Yeah,
this beautiful blouse, and then there's all these guys in the black. Yeah, so no, I think
like
it's good. I think it could qualify. I wouldn't be surprised if it qualified.
No, I would like it too. Yeah, and like Serbia, always great, great country. Like for Eurovision. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Serbia was a song, a techno song about sleeping to ignore everything happening in the world. And next up is Latvia, which is a techno song about sleeping to ignore everything happening in the world.
It's so funny how there's like a couple of themes like this.
There's so many songs about sleeping.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah.
Because obviously we were like, you know, 2023. I mean, it's a very 2023 Eurovision. Like, you can see what's happening in the world. Everyone's like, there's a lot of songs about self-care. There's a lot of songs about sleep.
There's a lot of songs about war.
There's a lot of songs about war. I'm glad I looked up some of the songs because I was like, oh, this is a fun boppy song. Oh, it's about war. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that anyway. Yeah. So we've got Latvia. Band is called Sudden Lights and the song is called Alija, maybe. But they're singing in English. Yeah, I really like this song. I like it a lot. I think the chorus is good. I just like it and I like their performance. I think there's like four or five of them on the stage. It's kind of a quiet song, but a loud song. No, I just like it.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's good to sing along to.
I think, yeah, look, it's not the kind of song that I typically like. Mm-hmm. The beats kind of like annoy me a bit. But I can see why people do like it.
Yeah.
It's just not my particular thing. I think it will easily qualify.
Yeah.
I know it is really popular. Like, people
is
seem
it?
To really
oh,
like
good.
It. Yeah.
Good.
Not like crazy,
yeah.
crazy popular, but I think it's going to comfortably do it.
Yeah.
And I think the staging is really interesting as well. Like, they have got like like it is visual, like they have these beautiful lamps.
They were the ones with the lamps, weren't they? Yeah, I loved the lamps.
They're beautiful lamps. So yeah, no hate to this song. Just like probably won't make it onto any of my playlists post Eurovision, just because it's not the kind of song that I like, but not a bad song.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't like I wouldn't listen. Like, I don't think I'll listen to it in a few years' time.
Yeah.
But I wish them well. So many times I've written down, I wish them well. So I do.
Yeah, I do. I wish them well. And speaking of I wish them well, next up we have Portugal, Mimi Cat with I Coração, I think, or Coração.
I Coração.
Coração. It's a fun cabaret kind of song, you know, like I really love the vibes of this song. I hope it does well.
Yeah.
Portugal on a good roll for being reliably interesting, like, you know, and doing something a little bit different that's not like your typical,
yeah,
just regular pop song. And I think this definitely brings that as well. I did watch the first minute of the staging, but I didn't finish it. But my takeaway from the first minute is it's the return of the sexy couch at Eurovision at the start.
Shout out to Iceland 1997.
It's not quite as sexy as that couch, but it does start out with a sexy couch.
I didn't put that together. I was like, oh, there's a couch on stage. But I was like, oh, yeah. Iceland 97, a moment.
But yeah, I really like it.
I like it. I thought it was great. I think she's like the Portuguese Imelda May. I just like great lady singer, dancers, again, the costume song, like, yeah, just like, yeah, fun, vibrant. I hope it gets through. Probably won't win or do well. Like, but it's I love Portugal just sticks to what it does.
It does. Yeah. And they always do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
They always show respect to the competition. They never say shit.
Yeah.
This is how you send a song that's not going to win. Without disrespecting the competition.
Yeah. Ashling, are you talking about Ireland?
I wish I wasn't.
I know.
I know. Disrespectful, but.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Will we talk about Ireland?
I think we have to. Yeah. Because they're next.
So next up, we've got Ireland, the band called Wild Youth. And the song is We Are One, singing in English. And I don't like the song. I think that they might do a good enough performance of it in the night, but I will be shocked if this gets through.
We haven't a hope.
I don't know. Like, there's like, they're trying to have like a meaningful song, but they've no actual words in the song to make it meaningful. Their video is, because obviously I'd seen the live performance on the Late Late Show when it was chosen. So then I watched the video and they have these like gold, like chainmail kind of, or like really thin coverings on their face. Like they're like veils.
Yeah. So here's my question to you, actually, now that you've brought that up. Do you think, and I just want to actually, before I say anything, I just want to say no hate to the band Wild Youth.
No,
they
are
genuine Eurovision fans.
Yes.
They have just got I don't know. They said that they went to Sweden to get this song written. And it does feel to me like they said, let's write a song for Eurovision rather than let's write a good song. Yeah. It kind of sounds like it was written by somebody who English isn't their first language, which is wild because English is their first language.
Yes.
And they were booed at pre-parties like some of the other shows. And I just think that's stupid. You know, they seem like nice boys, you know, but this song isn't good. But that doesn't mean they're bad people.
No.
But having said that, do you think they know what kind of band they're in? Because every single time I see them, they're wearing the most interesting outfits. Like they're wearing these beautiful things and like the masks and stuff. But then they feed us like porridge. Like they just give us the most boring songs.
They do have great clothes.
They have phenomenal clothes, but then really boring music. So I feel like we're being missold every time.
Yeah, I feel like they probably have, I'd say that they have a better Eurovision song in their pocket that they weren't allowed to sing or something.
Or that they just chose not to. I actually did hear in the car, like 2 weeks ago, a song came on and it was something like You Make Me Want to Dance or something. And I was like listening to it. And then they said it was Wild Youth. And I was like, why is this not the song they sent to Eurovision? Like, I still don't think that would win Eurovision, but it's much closer to what we should be sending than this.
Because they,
saying it sounds like U2. Personally, I wish it sounded like U2 because U2 are a very good band, like for however you feel about them.
Famously
very popular band. I don't think this sounds like U2. I think they mean a man is singing it.
There are some instruments singing. Yeah, like I feel like they probably have a better song that's just sort of like, about like dancing or something. Whereas this is a song where they're like, oh, we'll go to Europe with a song about unity. And it's like, no, like it just doesn't say anything.
No, it says nothing. Like, I think going to Europe with a song about unity maybe was a good idea like 10, 15 years ago.
Yes.
But like, yeah, not now. Maybe, yeah, 20 years ago, but not now. Like, it just means nothing.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, we're all, yeah, we are inherently united by music, as the slogan of the series. It's like, we don't need to be told that again.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, it's kind of, it annoys me a little bit, but no hate to the band Wild Youth. I wish them well in their career, but they're not getting out of semi-final one.
I'm excited to see how they perform on that such a big stage.
Yeah, because they are actually, let's remind ourselves, the reason that they won the RTE thing is because they are good at performing, as in, like, they can all play their instruments. They are good vocalists. You know, they do a good job.
Yeah.
But I don't think the song itself is going to carry them. But I think even in this, and semi-final one is for me the weaker semi-final, I still can't see us getting out.
No.
Semi-final one.
It's quite nice to not have to live with the hope.
No, it's good, because actually it's the hope that kills you, as we learned with the last year.
Yeah. It's the hope that kills you. So I'm like, it's grand.
Yeah. So we'll move on. Sorry, Ireland.
We will. Yeah.
To Croatia. So it's Let 3, Mama SC.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a marginal qualifier for me. I think they would have benefited if they kept it to just like one genre of music in the song. Like, I like the kind of harmonizing and stuff at the start. And like, when I saw the live show, like the costumes, like where they're basically all dressed as like, I didn't realize it was a war song until I watched the performance, but it's like they're dressed as kind of like drag dictators.
Yeah.
Now, personally, for me, I'm over that as a joke, because I think that, like, you know, like, it's not funny to say like, oh, what if Stalin was a drag queen? Because like, drag queens exist and they're actually under attack. Like, so.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But having said that, that's an extremely privileged Western position that I have. And maybe that's not the political landscape in Croatia, where maybe this does have more impact.
Okay.
I liked that. And it actually made me like the song more, their performance and the kind of camp elements that they brought to it.
Yeah.
So I don't think they do make a joke out of it, but it kind of looks a bit like village people-y. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just like, I've had like, literally, like, I thought this is just like a fun boppy song, like that you could clap your hands to. I said, this is such a great song. Like, it's weird, it's techno, whatever. And then, then I like read the lyrics and I was like, okay, what's this granny they're talking about? And like, mommy kissed a moron. Like, what that? I was like, I don't get it. And then like reading about it, I'm like, oh, okay, I was like, it's anti-war. And then I felt bad for like just kind of bopping along to it so much. But, and like, I wonder, will other people also do the research, or will it just be like, oh, it's a gas song. Like, well, I think it's like fun visuals.
I think as soon as people see the stage show, they'll be like, why is there guy dressed as Stalin? Why is there guy dressed as Hitler, but with the Stalin's mustache, which I think was the wise move, not to go with the Hitler mustache.
Always. Yeah.
but you know, like, that's, it's kind of recognizable.
Yeah. But I think it's like, it's an interesting way. Like, we were talking about, like, well, for me, like, the Irish song, like, just doesn't have enough words. But I was like, this is a song that doesn't have a lot of words, but it's kind of like, it does the job. Like, it's actually really interesting. There's another song later on that, again, doesn't have a lot of words, but maybe you don't need them all the time.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely hope it'll get through. And it kind of reminds me of Croatia's song last year, the Circus Murkus song. Not as wild as that. I do like how there's 17 different songs in this one song, and the song itself is like two minutes, 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
They didn't need those last 30 seconds.
They didn't. Like, it's not bad for me. I have it down as not qualifying.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I don't know if that's accurate or not, because I don't know who votes for Eurovision.
Yeah, we don't.
We have no idea. Yeah, but it's not. If it was up to me, if I was supreme ruler of Eurovision, this wouldn't get through semi-final.
It wouldn't. Okay. Yeah. Super.
Not in my top 10.
That's okay. So next up, then, we have Switzerland with Remo Forer singing Water Gun in English. And so I thought that this was like Ukraine's song.
Deirdre, like, I cannot cope with famously neutral Switzerland having the neck to bring this song to Eurovision.
I am so glad that you said that, Ashley.
Like, what? It feels so exploitative. Like,
yes. Like, it's rude.
It's rude. If I was Ukrainian, I'd be like, actually, fuck off. Like,
no, like, I don't want to, like, be a soldier. I don't want to have to deal with blood. I don't want to have to hold a gun. Dude, there are literally people.
You're Swiss. You're in Switzerland. You don't have to do those things.
And I was like, there's people who actually are doing that right now. I was like, yeah. That's so rude.
It just feels like they're really trying to appeal to that. And I think it's disgusting. And I hate it. And also the metaphor is way too on the nose.
Yeah.
I did not watch this. And my notes for why I didn't watch the video is I actually don't care. I want this to be really badly. It really annoyed me.
I was just really taken aback by it. I just think it's so wrong. Like,
it's absolutely for Switzerland. Like, well, it's like if we did that, like, we can't do that either. We're also like no use to anybody. I remember like, this is not saying neutrality is bad, but you can't be the neutral country and then send this, which is essentially a sad boy ballad version of like two little boys and two boys. That's what it is. That's they're like, oh, we don't have water guns anymore. Now we've real guns and we shoot each other. You're in Switzerland. Like, there's actually war happening in some of the countries in this competition.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
You can't just, oh, I hate it.
I'm so glad. Okay. Because I was like, am I being like too sensitive and reading into this too much? And like, maybe people will actually like this. But I was like, I just think ultimately it's rude and really like offensive almost. Yeah. Like, it's just very like,
Not a big fan of sorry, Remo Forer.
I did write down, I do think he has a nice voice, but that's about it.
Yeah. No, he for sure can sing, but I don't think, I don't want this to qualify. I don't think it will qualify.
I hope it doesn't. Yeah.
I can't see it being received well.
That's
in 2023.
There will be Ukrainian people who are living in the UK watching him sing this.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'd be so embarrassed if I was him. I'd be so embarrassed.
The neck.
Yeah. The absolute neck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
The neck. Not really. So Israel is next. Noah Carell and Unicorn. So like, I just hate when like, sort of like Switzerland sending a song about war. I kind of do hate any song from Israel that's about being bullied. That just kind of rubs me up the wrong way, optics wise. Mm-hmm. Also, I just think it's a boring song. I think it'll benefit from being in semifinal one.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a live performance to watch, but I did say in my notes that I predict the most boring regular dancing after she says, "Want to see me dance?" Like, I predict it will be so boring and it will not be worth it. It'll be like when a toddler says, "Look what I can do."
Like, yeah. I was like, Chanel danced last year. No one can dance this year.
Yeah. And especially when you say, "Want to see me dance?" to like such a boring song. Like, of all the songs I want to see someone dance to, this is like low down on the list. It's, and again, it's one of the ones that like, I can't even hum it for you now.
It's
very forgettable.
What is the power of Unicorn meant to be?
It means nothing.
That's the thing. It pisses me off. I was like, you're taking the Unicorn, which is kind of like, firstly, you're either stealing from 5-year-old girls or like the queer community. And then you're taking it and you're Israel and it's like, don't be doing that. And it doesn't make sense as a metaphor. It just feels like such like a manufactured song.
Yeah.
Like between 100%. Like they were like, oh, like, what's a symbol like that we can have? It's like, okay, unicorn. And then they're like, oh, do you want to see me? Like, we have to have a dance break. And it's just.
Yeah. But this is Israel through and through in Eurovision since the last time they won.
Yeah.
Doing Eurovision by numbers. And they really are using it as like an opportunity to like pink wash, you know? Like,
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
So like, I think this is just more of that.
They didn't get through last year and they had a sort of similar song. So hopefully again this year they won't get through with this absolute crap.
I think they didn't get through last year. One, because the song was pretty shit, but also because the guy was hated.
Yes.
Everybody hated the guy because he was like jumping in other people's VTs and just
obnoxious.
Being obnoxious. So I have no idea what Noah is like, but I hope she maybe learned a lesson from him and don't be obnoxious.
don't pull people face masks off.
Don't pull people face. Like, what the? Like, I can't believe it needs to be said.
No. Yeah. Anyway, on to one of my favorite countries in Eurovision, Moldova. We've got Pasha Parfeni, thank you. Sorella Seluna singing in Romanian. So, Moldova, one of my favorite countries. For Eurovision, it's a bit different. Wasn't what I was expecting, but I did enjoy it. I did initially enjoy their stage performance because they have drums on stage, which we haven't seen on Eurovision in a number of years. And I really like having drums on stage. But then by the chorus, these two, have you seen the performance?
I have seen it. And my note for that is so many people have taken inspiration from Shum. It's crazy this year.
Yeah. But also the two girls who come out with the big yellow jacket-esque antlers.
Yeah, that's what I was like. So this much. Is like the, it just reminded me so much of Shum. I was like,
yeah,
just taking, like, and you know, if you're going to take inspo from somebody, do take inspo from them. One of the best Eurovision performers of the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the kind of song that I really love in Eurovision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of kind of modern folk. And the song references kind of like traditional folk stories. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. that's just tick, 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 tick for me. For me, I think it's going to qualify. I think the staging is a bit mad when the deer women come on. I want to see how that resolves itself.
Once they came on, I stopped it because I was like,
"Same." I was like, "I need to know what happens next," but I want it to be a surprise.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you're not. I know, because I was just like, "Oh my god, this dear ladies." Okay.
Yeah.
There's escalation, and then I'm going to stop it and find out in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good. I think it's. Yeah. I think it'll qualify. I think so.
Yeah. I think it's weird. Yeah. Also, just like Moldova, so obviously Sunstroke Project. Those of the Epic Sax Guy, those guys did try to qualify this year in the Moldova national competition, but they didn't get through, which I was initially sad about. But then I listened to their song and I was like, oh, well, I'm glad it wasn't very good.
Oh, so, yeah. Well, speaking of returning Eurovision questionable songs, move on. Well, so next is Sweden, and it's the return of Loreen with mm-hmm. Tattoo. Now, mm-hmm. Loreen, like, she is extremely popular. I think for my money, she is the last breakout Eurovision star. As in, her song is the last song that won Eurovision that you hear in regular day-to-day life amongst people who aren't Eurovision fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Tattoo is not Euphoria at all.
No.
It's not as good. I do love the bits. Yeah. I do think it's a good song. I mean, it's Loreen. It's a solid song. I think it's a shoe-in to qualify based on her fan base, and also because it is one of the top 10 songs, I think, in semi-final one.
Yeah.
For me, it's not a winner. But there's a reason why she's very popular. She always brings it. She's a great vocalist.
Yeah.
The staging stresses me out. So for anyone who doesn't know, Loreen's staging for Tattoo, it opens with her lying underneath this big, what looks to be just a big light box. And then that kind of gradually goes up as the song goes on. And I thought it was just a light box. But then I looked it up and it actually weighs like 1.6 tons. So very much hoping that Loreen doesn't get hydraulically pressed during Eurovision. But she's literally putting her life on the line.
Like
this song. And I got to respect it.
Like, you told me that. And I was like very concerned about who decided that. So I think they are going to have to rejig it somehow because the roof in Liverpool can't hold. So I was like very relieved because as much as I don't like the song, Marina's precious and we must like not have her die.
And like, I have to be honest, like, so it's like, I don't love the song, right? Mm. But if another artist other than Loreen brought it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be comparing it to Euphoria and I probably wouldn't have, you know, I think it's worth qualifying.
Mm.
And I think it has every chance. I mean, you can never write off Sweden in Eurovision and you can never write off Loreen. From fan power alone, this could easily be a top five finisher on final night.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm just also like, I don't know if the word is like bitter or whatever, sore, I think is the word. Like, because I just really didn't like the Swedish song last year. And I was just like, you always look forward to Sweden and stuff. And I just was like, oh, what didn't I this? And I was trying to understand like why I was feeling so kind of iffy about the song. So I did look, I know Loreen tried to get through to Eurovision again in 2017 with a song called Statements. So I watched that and actually I really liked that song. So I was like, okay, I'm not against Loreen or, you know, kind of people coming back. Yeah. I was like, I just don't like Tattoo as much as her previous song. But I have to say, I was listening to it at lunch and I was really liking it. So
It is a good song and she's going to deliver and we can be guaranteed a good performance really from her.
Yeah.
And then there's also the factor that, like, I mean, Sweden is the best host.
They are. So everyone likes it.
It's never bad news to be in Sweden next year.
Yeah. And like, obviously, if they win this year or whenever they do win next time, because they will win, they will then tie with us. But it's like the most, like tie with us for the most wins at 7. But it's absolutely deserved. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully I want that to happen sooner rather than later, because I want whoever is in charge of Ireland Eurovision delegation to get a kick up the bum.
Yes.
And be very like,
true.
defend your title or whatever.
it's like we only have a certain number of things we can be proud of, and Eurovision was one of them. So it's like, come on,
exactly.
Let's move on to Azerbaijan, which is Turan, Turan X, Tell Me More. And I don't know what Azerbaijan are doing. They are one of those countries where it's like an evil dictatorship, and they are obsessed with using Eurovision to, as a kind of international level propaganda kind of thing to push themselves forward. Like, they're the Eurovision that Azerbaijan hosted in 2012 was the most expensive Eurovision ever. They put so much money into like writing, English language songs that they think are going to be pop hits. And this is the crappiest song I've ever heard in my life.
It is my worst song musically. My least favorite song is Switzerland, but this is the worst song musically. It makes me, like, the best thing I can say about it is after I listened to Tell Me More, I went to go listen to both Kiss Me by Sixpence and the Richer and Feel My Love by Bob Dylan / Adele, which this song basically just steals from completely. It's not sampling, it's straight up stealing. I was humming other better songs after I listened to this song.
It's so bad. Like, it's just,
It's bad. The more I listened to it, the more I disliked it. And I didn't even bother watching the staging because
I
was like,
I skip it every time.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to save this song for me.
It's so fun. Like, you go from the high of Sweden on the reed. And then, like, well, at least we know we could have like a little like drink break or something at Azerbaijan.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to have a little bathroom break.
A little bathroom break. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to do well, and it doesn't deserve to do well. Sorry to Turan, Turanix. So moving swiftly on then to Czechia, we have Vesna singing My Sister's Crown. Now, I am a sucker for a girl gang harmonizing. I'm a sucker for that. I think it does go into English. It's still really good. I think it's a way better anti-war song than the Switzerland one. And I think the bit of the staging that I saw from their national qualifiers has my favorite bit of choreo, which is synchronized creepy head movements. So you can't beat that as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't note that for this one, but there's another song later on where I was like, oh my God, they move their heads in unison.
Yeah, it's not as good as Iceland.
Iceland last year. Oh, great.
They do kind of like this is going to translate really well to a podcast, but they do like a head twitch to the side, almost like a Michael Jackson's like Thriller thing.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I do think that's great. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. For me, it's an easy qualifier. I looked it up and it is pretty popular online. People think it's going to do well. So, good. And I hope they're right.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I think it's in English, Czech, Bulgarian and Ukrainian. So I was like, that's again, it's like there's ways to be anti-war without just like being like, oh, what if we had peace? I love it. It's like Russian Woman a few years ago, or there was also a song from Poland a few years ago that was kind of just like girls shouting or singing in unison. I just love it. Yeah, my sister. And it's kind of like, with Unicorn, it's like, Power of a Unicorn. What is that? But it's like My Sister's Crown. I'm like, no, I get it. Like, you know, it's not naff. It's not cheesy. It's sincere. I like it.
Yeah, I really like it.
Love it. Great. Delighted. I'm so worried. I just like it.
Yeah, I loved it. I love how like every year we do this, or like even like before the podcast, every year for Eurovision, we have the exact same opinions without conferring.
Yes.
I really wanted us to disagree with a couple of them. Maybe we still will in semifinals.
Yeah, who knows?
But so far, maybe we'll disagree on the next one. You want to take the next one?
It was mine. Yeah, Netherlands, Maya Nicolai and Dion Cooper with a song called Burning Daylight that just really, it just suffers from being sandwiched between two really intense songs. It's a bit bland, but it's also not bland. So I don't know what that means. Yeah. I have nothing to say about the song. I don't hate it.
Boring. I find it boring. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I just find it a bit too dull. I think like I do wonder why, because they've got a lovely male voice and a lovely like female voice singing separately, but not harmonizing. And I think that's such a missed opportunity. Why are they not backing each other up to add like more tonal interest to the verses? Because it is a slow song.
Yeah.
I think the only way this is getting out of semifinal one is because it's a weaker overall semifinal. it could go either way, but I don't see it showing up in the final.
Yeah. And like personally. Netherlands sometimes can do a good performance on the night.
Yeah.
But also I
didn't watch the staging because I just didn't care.
I think I watched 10 seconds of it and I was like, oh.
I just didn't care. I was like, no, I just can't with this. But anyway, that's enough about Netherlands because we have to spend some time on this, the closer of semi-final one, which, by the way, semi-final one, amazing opener, amazing closer, I think we have to say. Yeah. Finland, Karia, cha-cha-cha. This is the winner of Eurovision 2023. Yeah. There's only one song, which is in semi-final two, which I think could come close to beating it.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. It has everything that you want in Europe. It's weird. It's wonderful. It starts out kind of like metally rock and goes to pure pop. It's camp. The staging is immaculate. Oh, like it's a party of a song. Like I love it. It's hugely popular. It's not just our opinion. Like tops every single Who Will Win Eurovision. Like, I would be shocked if Finland weren't putting together the budget for next year already.
Helsinki, get ready. We're coming.
Helsinki, like, get ready. so good. And he's so cute.
Oh, adorable. Adorable. And great in interviews. Super cute. His little outfit. Yeah, so I said to Ashing, I put to my Insta stories, I said, I would like Finland to win. And then you replied saying, I'm so glad you agree. And then you said to me, have you watched the video yet? And I said, no. And you said, you should, because his outfit is just sleeves. And I thought that you meant that it was a lot of sleeves sewn together. And I was like, oh, curious. I was interested. So then I started to watch it and I was like, oh, no, it's just sleeves. It's sleeves with like a little, it's a bolero with choker. Sleeves.
It's a
basically he has, it's all belly, all chest out. It's just a little choker it's a choker with some sleeves attached. And it's just escalation. It goes from him in his little, there's palettes on stage. There's interesting camera angles. He's adorable. There's demented salsa dancers.
Yeah.
There's glitter. There's boxing mats before, which I'm not entirely sure why, but I don't care.
I don't care what this song means.
There's dance moves.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
And then.
You can't give it all away with the choreo because people have to be surprised on the night.
Yeah. But I am so glad I'm so glad I watched it before, because I had to ring you because I was crying.
So, and I want everyone who listens to this podcast to bear that in mind when they see it on semi-final one, that Deirdre rang me in tears. So she was like, all I hear is just Deirdre crying. And I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? And she goes, I just watched Finland. Don't know what I thought had happened to you, but I definitely, gun to my head, life on the line, would never have guessed you just watched the video for Cha Cha Cha.
And can I just say, it's not the only time I've cried watching that video. It is just absolute sheer perfection.
It's joy. It,
whoever sat down, well, obviously he sat down and wrote that song, and then he thought, it's a great song. I'm gonna go to Eurovision with this song. And then someone said, what would you like to wear? And he said, can I to Ukraine for 2021 with a green bolero with my belly out? And they said, okay. And then they had to decide about staging. And they said, well, you should have some cha-cha dancers. Everything comes together into a bizarre, just perfect mix.
Yeah, 100%. It's
it's in Finnish. I'd love to have more non-English language songs. Yeah. I'd love to have more like native songs winning. Absolutely. Native language songs. Yeah, love it.
Absolutely. And we are seeing more and more of that. And it's great.
It's better in Finnish than it is in English. And ultimately, this song is just about having a pina colada and some beers with your friends.
Yeah. And also, did you see he's released little pina colada pre-packaged, pre-mixed cocktail cans?
Well, we have to purchase
them. We must purchase some of them. That has to be, like, I don't know, what is the shipping on getting them over to your house for Eurovision finals night?
Sonia, can you get your friends in Finland to send us some?
Yeah, Sonia, we need them. Yeah.
This is like the one time our Finland connection works out. We're like, we have a Finland connection.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just, like, I'm so glad it's the last song. Like, you and Rachel are going to have to hold my hair back as I cry.
It's going to be intense. Yeah. No, it's like, and just for everybody listening who hasn't heard the song or watched the staging, I would urge you to keep it fresh for a semi-final night so that you can, first of all, appreciate like how great and joyful it is, but then also in the back of your mind thinking, this is what Deirdre had a mental breakdown to. I just think that's going to be excellent context for you for the song.
Is that when I was hanging up on you, like we spoke for 20 minutes and I kind of cried in the middle because I just kept remembering bits about it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go watch the video again. And then I cried again watching the video, possibly a few more times. It's just perfection. I'm just so happy. I'm just moved by beauty a lot lately. And and what is beautiful is Finland's performance. Yeah. Finland's winning Eurovision performance 2023.
I feel confident saying it.
Yeah.
Finland will win.
There's no way it won't.
There's only one way, and we'll cover that there in the final two. Yeah.
Oh, there is. Oh, also, just to give a shout out to my friend Carmel's friend, Jonathan, who Carmel texted me. I'm trying to all my friends because I want to put in little like clip, like little like Easter eggs and see which of my friends has listened to this.
Yeah. So of the pod, your friend, Carmel's friend, Jonathan.
Yeah. Jonathan. Yeah. He told Carmel to text me like 2 months ago, been like, I've just put a big pile of money on Finland to win. And I was like, yeah, fair play.
Yeah. It makes sense. I said to Clodagh, I was like, it's something like 13-3 or something now. I was like, that's good odds for Finland because it's going to win.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to semi-final two. Deirdre, do you want to start?
Okay, super. Semi-final two. We've got Denmark. We've got Riley and he's singing Breaking My Heart. One of the things I do is like when I first listen to all the songs, I go through without knowing what country is which. And I try and guess like which one's which. And I knew this was Denmark to start off with because Denmark just like doesn't really have like a lane or a genre of what they send, but they always sometimes do send like quite contemporary sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That was my own like shout out to myself for guessing that this was Denmark. But first performance of the night, bit low energy. He might be good in the night. He's one of the new kids. There's a thing lately of just like they pick like social media stars to go to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Things can blow up on TikTok without older people knowing about it, whatever. And I think it worked for Sam Ryder last year.
UK 2022, which me and Deirdre hate it.
Things blow it up on TikTok. It's obviously, it's a tactic. I couldn't sing it if I wanted to.
No.
If I tried to.
So boring for me. Yeah. Like, I think it's a bad opening to the semifinal.
Yes,
it's not going to get anyone in the mood.
No.
Denmark, I think they're on a bit of a downward trajectory Eurovision wise at the moment. I think they're taking too many little risks. But when I did, like, I watched the first little bit of the video, I couldn't find a live thing, so I watched the official music video.
Oh, yeah.
And he does look to be about 12. So I don't want to be like mean about him because I think he is a child. I think he should still be on junior Eurovision. he looks really, really young.
Yeah, he looks like a baby.
Fair play to him. And like, this obviously is written for a demographic that I'm not a part of. So it's probably good.
Yeah.
This is the first song about a broken heart in semi-final two, but not the last.
Yeah. I will say, I just remembered what this song sounds like and I don't hate it. And I remember thinking it sounds very contemporary. It's the most contemporary song I think we have. Yeah.
Yeah. And the video was very modern. Cutesy, like it's old thing. It's a very modern video. Like, but it is, but I don't know. For me, the song is a bit dull. It's just not.
Yes. No. Good. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't pop off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're next.
Armenia.
Yeah.
We've got Brunette singing Future Lover. I don't know. Like, so the first line of my notes is there's something so funny about the she wants to kiss, like, who wants to kiss my face line. Like, I think, or he wants to kiss my face. Like, for me, this song, so it's a song about like this girl, like imagining like her future lover. My big takeaway from this song is she needs more ambition. Her overall needs are very, very small. She is getting very, very stressed over what sounds to be just a normal person. She just wants to drink smoothies and cafes with this guy.
Then
she's wearing, like in the video, she's wearing so many harnesses for somebody who wants such a vanilla life. Costuming? Where she's like, I want to go for walks. I want him to kiss my face. I want to drink smoothies and cafes. And then she's wearing like a tan bondage gear.
Yeah.
It was a big disconnect there for me.
I just looked it up because I was like the sentence, it's drink smoothies at near cafes.
Drink
That's
smoothies,
what she
wants. Not even in cafes, near them. So the implication, you made the smoothie at home. You go to a cafe, you're going to sit on some steps. I'm imagining the steps of the Pirates Court Centre, and you have your little chili bottle that you made a smoothie in earlier, and you're both just going to sit there and drink it. And then later, he's going to kiss you on the face. Person will do those things with you. You don't need to write a song to him. It's very normal stuff.
I just think it's the funniest song to sing out of Eurovision stage.
It's fucking gas.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. And I think it will qualify. I want to caveat this.
Oh, yeah. I think, but there, no, she is in a harness, like sort of top, but isn't there some sort of,
she's wearing like,
oh yeah, my heart caught in chains. And I was like, oh, maybe that's why she has like a harness top on.
But I just think, like, look, and Deirdre, this is off topic for Eurovision, but we need to take harnesses back off straight people who are not members of the BDSM community, because you're not understanding why you're wearing a harness. Like, if you asked Brunette, why are you wearing the harness? Uh-huh. She would have no answer for you. She'd be like, I just like the buckles. Like, that's what she would say, right?
It looks cute.
But your song is so vanilla. You can't be wearing bondage gear for a vanilla song.
In my opinion. Yeah. Put it in the context. So Armenia last year, she was also in beige. She was a very beige girl. But that song, that was like the most played song from Eurovision. Maybe it blew up on TikTok. Maybe it was either TikTok or Spotify. I think it was TikTok. It was like the most... I think that there's something about this song where they're, because there's things like 3 minutes of making impossible plans, 7 minutes of unnecessary panic attacks. I'm sorry, what are these lyrics?
Unnecessary panic attack is so fun. Like, I'm sorry, like I don't mean to laugh at people who, like, obviously writing a song in English.
Yes, so, that's also true.
I just think
they've
written second language, but like it feels like a 15-year-old's poetry.
Yes, she probably is 15. No, but I also think that they're writing for TikTok.
They are.
And I laugh every time the second verse comes on, because it just sounds like something from Hamilton. Like, she saw Hamilton and she wanted to write a rap or something, because it's like an internal monologue. And I just think it sounds like she's watched Hamilton too many times, as we all did.
It absolutely does not need a rap verse.
I can't believe it has a rap verse.
It's so, like, I think it sounds like I'm really, really stating it. I don't hate the song. And it is one of the things that I think will qualify from this semi-final. But overall, pretty funny.
She wants a boyfriend and then talks about being nervous about having said boyfriend. I'm like,
yeah, no. And she doesn't want to do anything exciting with him at all. Wants to kiss my face just made me laugh so much. It makes me laugh every time I hear it. What a low bar to set for a man. Somebody wants to kiss my face.
And drink smoothies at near cafes. That's my favorite line. And drink.
These are all things that you could do with a dog. You don't need a man for this.
A friend. Like, yeah, you could what do songs this, about like, having friends?
Honestly, you could do everything she wants to do in the song with your dad. And it would be a lovely afternoon.
Yeah. Nothing
at all romantic, I think, about her dreams for this guy.
But I do want this song to do well. I want this song to qualify. I think she's going to do a chaotic stage performance. I wish her well. She'll have a harness on. She'll be having a great time.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Now the harnesses will go. Yeah, I'm excited to see this song. I really love it. Okay. Then we have Romania. We've got Theodore Andre. And the song is DGT bracket off and on. And he's singing in both Romanian and English, which is good. I liked listening to this song. And then I watched some of the song and it is chaotic.
I am done. I'm completely finished. I don't need any more of essentially two nude women wearing nothing as accessories to a fully clothed man.
Thank you.
I'm done with that. I don't think we need that.
No.
I was shocked when I saw it.
It's like, so jarring.
Women are, and I'm not like trying to be like prudish or anything, like this is an accurate description. They're dressed like the mannequins in the Victoria's Secret window.
Yeah.
And he is fully dressed.
Yes.
And then, and I'm going to spoil it because I don't actually think it's that good of a song. There is a tearaway moment where they take off his full shirt and he's wearing just a t-shirt. It's not even that mesh of a t-shirt. I think it's supposed to be more mesh.
A bit meshy, isn't it? I think I did watch all of that.
But it's not like oh, now he's also dressed sexy and he's come into his sexiness. He just still looks like, like you could see him on the bus and you wouldn't be like, oh, where's that guy going? Like he just looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
I am also concerned his vocals are not great. Even in the studio version.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to qualify. I don't think there's a hope in hell that he sings the song completely on the night.
Yeah, because I think it goes big at the end. I can't remember, but I think it goes big at the end. And I was like, he's going to be nervous. The
barely there, even in the studio version. He's kind of a little pitchy.
Yeah. So. They also, I think, did the girls have really weird makeup on their face? But I wasn't sure if it actually was supposed to be proper makeup that it looked weird. Like, was it that their eye, their like mascara was runny? But it looked, it wasn't so much that it looked like it.
I can't recall. I just was so annoyed once I saw it. I was like, why are they nude?
There needs to be parity of clothing. Like, everyone has to be naked or like in lingerie or whatever.
I'm just not was against having someone in lingerie on the Eurovision stage. I want on record. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just when it's a fully clothed guy.
Yeah.
And they are just his accessories. And they don't even dance, really. Do you know what I mean? They stand next to him and they're very sexy.
Like, yeah, they were just doing like, generic, like...
Let's just get two hot girls to stand behind you.
That's for, it.
Like, the thing. And like, it's like, ugh.
I just think as well, like, we've had... Yeah, like, between, like, slow-mo and then with, like, Besame last year and stuff. Like, we've done interesting things with dancing. And, like, it's, like, nudity or whatever. Like, or not like nudity, but just, like, interesting outfits. Like,
yeah.
Sorry, the bar is high.
Yeah, even Romania last year.
Besame,
was great.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. It's like,
this feels like not great. I just feel it feels a bit old fashioned or something. Like,
it feels like very kind of second year of college drama club kind of they're doing a cabaret or something. Oh, like they're doing a show. It's very like second year college.
I totally agree. Totally agree. I don't think this is getting out of the semifinal.
No.
Pause to Romania.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on then to Estonia. So we've got Alika and Bridges. So this is like a little slow kind of pop song thing. She's got a great voice, I think. Like, fair play to her. Not 100% sure she knows what a bridge is. But the song kind of goes nowhere for me, but so it's like not one of my faves. It's kind of one, it's mid table for me.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. The staging, I believe, it's a piano that is playing itself and then she plays it later.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of all it does. So it kind of goes nowhere. It doesn't really build towards anything. So I think, I don't know, not the most interesting. I think it's solid mid-table. I can see it easily getting out of the semi-final, making it to the final, but it's going to be parked on the right side of the board, I think, if it gets that far.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of how I would describe this song and then I realized, do you remember when Harry Styles was like, this movie's a movie? I was like,
yeah,
this song is a song. And it just like it. It's a good, it's not like Romania where they're like throwing like lingerie and stuff, or there's no like random rap in the middle. I was like, this song is a song. And I like it because it's a song. And it could be from any year of Eurovision, like any decade.
Yeah.
And I just like a standard song.
Yeah. And you know, like, I don't want to see, like, I'm no shade. There's some songs coming up that have really simple staging that I really love.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that the staging in this song is too simple.
Yeah.
Because the song itself doesn't kind of go anywhere. So I don't know. Like, or like, you can do simple staging in a more interesting way, I think, than they have done.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to count against it. But like, no disrespect, I think it is a good song and it's one of the ones that I think will qualify.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it does. I won't. Yeah, I'll be sad if it doesn't qualify. Also, it was co-written by Duncan Lawrence, who won for Netherlands with Arcade. So I was oh, that's just interesting to like listen back and I'm like, oh, it has his flavor in it. So yeah. I hope it gets through. That's all we have to say about that. So Belgium, Gustav, because of you, Belgium said, release the wiggle. I love it.
They sure did. I think this is, so it's the first song in semi-final two that's a real kind of dance
true
song. And I think it's going to benefit like hugely from that. But I don't think it really needs the help. I think it's again, I don't think it's going to win.
Yep.
It's mid-table.
Yeah.
I think it's going to qualify. I think a lovely blouse again.
And a great hat. Doesn't he have a great hat? Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, it's a great year for men in blouses, Eurovision 2023.
That is so true. So true.
There's a lot of good men in blouses.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I hope it gets through. Because we like, as much as I love a song that's a song, we also need to have the songs that we're going to be able to dance to in 5 years' time. And this will be one of them.
It will. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. And I think it's like, it's include. It's like, it again, it's like inclusive in a actually inclusive way.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I think it's really good. I think it's going to get out. I think it's going to be great. And I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
So then next is Cyprus. So Andrew Lambrou, Break a Broken Heart. So this is our second song about a broken heart in semi-final two. I immediately got the ick from the title.
Mm-hmm.
It also, and I said, I'm sorry, this is just one that just rubbed me up the wrong way. So it sounds like he's singing with a mouthful of water.
Water
in his mouth the whole time.
Okay.
Like he's just, it sounds like he's trying not to dribble. Like it's like his tongue is not leaving the bottom of his mouth enough or something. I don't know. So that annoyed me. I don't think this is likely to qualify. Just, I think you have to be so careful when you sing a song that is essentially, this woman is a bitch. Without, like, I think it's such a fine line to walk between, like, I was treated badly and now I feel empowered, to you sound like an incel. Mm-hmm. And I think he comes down pretty firmly on the incel side, in my opinion.
Okay.
I did not watch the staging because I did not care for the song. I don't know. Just.
Okay. Oh, so I watched the video, a bit of it. Mm-hmm. He's like, and I just flicked through a few parts of it because I was not understanding it. Production values are really poor. So it's him performing in some sort of like foyer area. But then it cuts away to like, he's in a swimming pool. I think he's trying to be a swimmer. And then there's some girl there. So there's obviously some storyline there. And I don't like the song. So I wasn't going to spend much time watching it. Yeah. But I was like, wow, this is a music video from like the past when like we had storylines and plots and stuff. It was so strange.
Yeah. No, it's not for me. I don't think it's going to qualify. Disappointing from Cyprus.
Yeah. Cyprus, sometimes they just send duds.
Yeah, and this is a dud in my opinion. Yeah. But again, and this, I'm only bringing this up because seems to have been so, when I was like looking at how songs had performed, say songs that I didn't like looking to see if other fans also didn't like them, because we went to another UK last year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even find anything on this one, but I don't think it's super popular. But I did find that a lot of songs were actually booed in the official Eurovision pre-parties in the last month. And I just want to say, if there's any Eurovision super fans listening to this, get a fat grip. Stop booing people for singing a song. It is so difficult to get up on stage and sing a song. And if you don't like the song, just clap politely, go about your day. There's a mechanism in place for Eurovision for letting people know you didn't like their songs. It's called not voting for them. Do that and stop booing. It's so rude. It's just rude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I hate it.
Yeah. No, don't do it right. Don't. Yeah.
Just don't boo.
There's no one here that, yeah, just don't boo at anybody. Just don't.
Yeah.
Boo. Yeah.
No, there's never a good reason to boo.
Yeah.
Like, never. Yeah. Never. Unless it's the day the repeal vote came through and you're sitting in the basement of Liberty Hall and the Angelus comes on. That was a good boo.
If you want to boo something, boo the Angelus.
But if the Angelus was happening live in front of us, we wouldn't have booed. It was on TV. They couldn't hear us.
Exactly. Yeah. Because booing, it's quite a selfish act, isn't it? Yeah. There's other ways to do things.
There's other ways to do things. So anyway, don't like that song, but we won't be booing. We just won't be voting.
No. So next up we got Iceland, Dilja, singing a song called Power. So I did not guess that this was Iceland. I thought it was either Greece or Cyprus.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, because
Greece.
Because we'll get to Greece literally next, but Greece and Cyprus, sorry lads, we just cop on and just send us the party songs, please.
Come on, please. We know what we want. And wearing all white, please.
You gave us a woman wearing all white last year and she did an amazing job.
Yes.
Stop sending us men being
send
sad.
Send it every year. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, come on. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, just go back to Iceland. Yeah. So I like it. I think it's a bit dated. Good song. Nice message. Her vocals could be a little bit dodge at the high end on the night. I think she's young. I don't think she's that experienced. I worry for her vocals. I think it's a kind of bizarre song. I think it's like, because I think Iceland have done like disco, like pop songs before in Eurovision, but this is just like often, it's so strange. What else do I say about it? What do you think?
Yeah. One thing that we can usually rely on is that we're going to get something a little bit unusual from Iceland. And I feel like this year they've sent us something very generic.
That's it.
For the first time in a few years, it's kind of it's a nice pop song. I think she has, you know, I do also worry about the vocals on the night. I think the staging is very simple, but I actually think it's simplicity done well, because I think she's very charismatic. She's, you know, communicates with the camera. Yeah. And it's just her singing. You know, it's just a little bit generic. I don't think it's going to qualify. And it's a little disappointing from Iceland to have sent it. But it's not bad. It's just not great. Like, it's just, and I looked it up. It's not popular with a lot of Eurovision fan bases.
Okay.
I struggle to see this leaving semi-final too, which is crazy to say about Iceland.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty much guaranteed to qualify.
Yeah. I think, I think she could, she seems like charismatic and a good performer. So maybe she'll do it great on the night, but it's just.
Yeah, I wonder maybe if they kept her back for a few years or something to send her with a better song. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the national competition was this year. Maybe it was the best, but it's not going to win. Yeah.
You're right, though. We always just want for a little bit, something a little bit different from Iceland. And,
We want them to send us something a bit mad. This year they didn't.
Yeah.
So then next, Greece, Viktor Vernikos, and What They Say. I hate this song. It's the worst song of semi-final two, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just sing in your normal accent. It's Eurovision. Why is he like, yards, yards? Like, why is it? It's like, sounds like Blink 182 or something. And like this, it's another surprise for me because, like we were just saying, like we're used to a certain kind of thing from Greece and this isn't it.
And what I'll say to that as well, I mean, like Greece in the last few years, they've started to send us different things. Like they haven't been sending us the girls singing about a party, but they have been sending us girls singing about cool stuff, which we were getting on board with because it was like girls doing great jobs, performances. But this is complete crap. And it's the exact same as Cyprus.
Yeah, it's Yeah, and this is particularly bad, and not to like stick the boot in on Greece, but I think it's going to be a bit of a shock for them because I think they mostly qualify. I think they only didn't qualify from the semis, like in 2018. I know,
they had a boring song then as well.
So like, I don't know, like Greece, like step it up for next year. Like this is not going to get out of the semifinal. No. It's bad.
Yeah. This is what I called the Ed Sheeranification of men in Eurovision.
Yes. Oh my God. That's exactly it. But the vocalization, that accent, like just adding like sounds into every.
Yeah.
Like you're. The kind of vocalization that Blink 182 made fun of.
But yes.
Earnestly.
Yeah. And just like, It's like, oh yeah, it's me now. So Poland, we got Blanka singing a song called Solo. This song. I went on such a journey with this song. It's a fun bop. I don't hate it. I like singing along to the chorus, but I'm kind of relieved in a way. So I watched also. So I've just heard in the music video, she looks really obnoxious. I've heard some stuff that she's a bit dodge. She was a bit mean to other people in the national selection. I hope that's not like slander. Who knows? That's just what I've heard, allegedly, maybe. But I watched her live performance and it is not good.
So I'm really actually glad that we have found a song that we disagree on.
Oh.
Because I really don't like this song. I think it's generic and not at all interesting.
Yeah.
And also, I think we have to spend some time here because there was a scandaloso in the Polish national competition.
Oh, so yes.
Another act won the televote.
Mm-hmm.
A guy called Jan singing Gladiator and Deirdre. I advise you to look at that song. It is better in every single way. It was this gorgeous kind of like obviously queer guy.
Yeah.
Singing a genuinely great song. Like the music video that he had is him like, it looks like there's kind of like tar and stuff going over his body and he's like slinking through and he's wearing bondage gear, but not like the other idiot wearing bondage gear. He's wearing bondage gear like he actually uses bondage gear. And he won the televote, but it was rigged that she would win because Poland is really homophobic, basically. They rigged it. Yeah. So I think Blanka is what you get if you outlaw homosexuality in your country.
Yeah.
That's what you get. You're going to just produce this. I think it's not good. I don't like it. It is by far the most hated song on all the fan forums that I went to. Purely because of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Blanka herself, like Blanka seems to be posting a lot of pictures with Karja from Finland. I hope I'm pronouncing it, or Karja.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I don't know if that's, like, her campaigning to be like, I'm with the popular guy, or if, like, you know, she's actually nice and they're friends or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I can't speak to her at all. But I did watch a little bit of the performance and stuff. Like, she was off key in the national finals. Bad. Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Polish, I would be fuming that this one, because it was really bad.
No, like, I think, like, with this song, I knew it was generic. I knew it was like complete superficial pop crap. But I was like, maybe it'll just be like some, like, a girl, like if it was like Brooke singing it or something, you know, like like somebody who could like sell it and be like, oh, I'm solo. But she was like snooty and not singing well. So I was like, oh, we can pass on this now.
She truly comes across in the music video as the kind of girl who's like, oh, I'm not like the other girls. Like, most of my friends are boys, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Like, just, yeah. Like, that's how it comes across.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like her.
And we don't like Poland, and it's not going to qualify. Even if it was the best song in the world, it wasn't going to qualify after the national finals. But everybody look up Jan, so J-A-N-N, Gladiator. It's actually great. Like, it's really, really good. Yeah.
Oh, it's really, so really sad.
Good. Yeah.
We actually reached it against him. Fuck. Yeah. That's annoying. That's bad.
Okay, so moving on, Slovenia. So the band is Joker Out, and the song is Carpe Diem. I think this is an absolute banger. I love it, and I think it's going to do really, really well. The little, like, it's so good, so good. And when I watch the performance, it's just like these five really cute guys. They look like a boy band. They're all wearing lovely blouses.
Yes.
And they are all able to sing, and they, like, oh, they make really good eye contact with the camera during, like, I think they're really charismatic. I think this is, it's a great song. I think it's going to finish top five, maybe.
Yeah. Is this, I can't remember, is this the performance where they're standing there and they're kind of like, there's a group around them in like a U shape? Was that those boys? I think that was them. But I just like, I was like, yeah, I was like, I love it. Five little friend boys.
Yeah, they're all there, really
the song
cute.
They wrote. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a boy band. But they're playing their own instruments and stuff, and I don't know, I think it's really fun. I think it's really cute. I think it'll definitely finish top 10, I think, maybe not top 5.
I definitely liked it. And like, Slovenia, obviously, last year they sent my favorite little sad disco boys with singing their song Last Pizza Slice, so happy to see Slovenia still going strong with just sending like strong. Group of boys, sending a group of friend boys.
Sometimes you gotta pick a lane to stick to it.
We need the little sad happy boys.
I really like it. I think it's great.
Oh, I'm so happy that you like it too. Yay. Yeah. Then we got Georgia with Iru singing Echo. Georgia just always does it. Eurovision does not value Georgia the way we should value them. I think I probably said that last year as well. Because last year they sent Circus Murcus, which is a song that no one was ready for.
No.
and this year, song called Echo, incredible video. She is going to enchant us. She's going to, like, she says she's a witch.
That's what I said. She's our first witch. Really.
Yes. Like, yes. We had our witches. Witch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the song is yet. Like straight in. Like, it's just like, you don't have time to get ready. It's like, no. I'm here.
I love it.
Deal with it. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I couldn't find, I have a concern though. I watched a bit of one of the, I couldn't find her like national final thing or whatever to see what the staging was like, but I could see, I found a video of like one of the pre-parties, I think it was the Barcelona one, and she was not hitting the notes. So I have a small concern about that.
There's a lot of notes in that song.
There's a lot of notes in this song. So I don't know. I have it down as qualifying. I think it will qualify. I think it's a great song.
Yeah.
But just concerned that, like, I hope she can hit it on the night.
Yeah.
So we'll move on then to San Marino. So it's peaked Jax, like an animal. Why is he smelling her and chasing her around the dance floor? Like, why he sounds, when I saw the video, like, I was like, oh, this guy looks exactly like I pictured him. Like, just like, I just find the whole song a bit sleazy or something. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, it's not popular in the groups that I looked at, which I was relieved, because I think it's just a bit creepy. I don't know, like, just I think you should leave that woman alone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If he was singing this song about one of your friends, you'd be like, let's get a taxi home.
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, because like, when I saw him live, I was like, they're having a good time. He's like, you know, he's almost hitting him. Like, he's having a good time. I think he'll hit the notes by the time Eurovision comes around. But I was like, the lyrics, I was like, it's like horny in like, not in a concerning way. He is like, smell me like an animal, or I'll smell you like smell. Don't smell people unless if you don't know them. So I kind of like
had to tell people if you don't know.
I don't know. Just like ask permission, maybe. I don't know.
It's just there's something so creepy about the whole song, and I think like this is like an advertisement for why you should always sing in your native language. Because maybe if we didn't understand what he was saying,
yeah,
we might be like, but like no, I was like, this is really creepy. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
So I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I definitely like. I was trying to stay liking it, but after reading the lyrics, I was like, there. It's you have to really want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and yeah. I don't think we should have to do that.
No, I don't think we should. And like, the bit of the staging that I saw, like, he does look like a greasy guy who would like.
He has grease. Yeah.
He looks like the kind of guy who, if he came up to talk to you in the spoken area, he'd put his arm around your waist.
Oh God. Oh.
But I'm right though, Deirdre. I'm right.
Oh. Or you know when you get your photograph taken and he puts his hand just right underneath your bra and it's like, oh. No, put on the center of the back.
Yeah. Or just don't touch me at all.
Shoulders. Just pretend I'm a lad. Yeah. Yeah.
Just but that's the vibe anyway. Just I don't know.
You're dead right. Which is sad because San Marino last year was just so good. Yeah. And in general, they're so good.
Yeah, they are. San Marino last year was one that we really supported, but then did really badly.
Yeah, we didn't get through. Yeah, well, the stripper guy, wasn't it? What was it, Achilles? Yeah. Your man on the... didn't get through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because he was in a full sheer body stocking. Like, come on.
Yeah, listen. But so, like, this is why we say we're wrong a lot.
Yeah, but yeah. Next song. Right, we got Austria. We got Taya and Selena. They're asking, who the hell is Edgar? Bo, 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 bo. Sorry, come on.
This song. This is my number two.
Yeah.
This in Finland.
Yeah.
It's about being haunted, being possessed. Mm-hmm. By Edgar Allan Poe, who in this song wrote the song that you're listening to.
Yeah.
Like the ghost of Edgar Allan Poe controlling the young one wrote the song. Absolutely obsessed.
Yeah.
I think it might be the standout bop. It's got to be between this and Finland.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the staging because I want to be surprised.
Yes. I only watched the music video. Same. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. I loved every single bit about it. It's so good. Who the hell is Edgar? It's so good.
Oh, mio patrio. Like, there's a prayer in it. Like,
it's got everything you possibly want.
And I can attest from Friday night, it goes down very well in a dance floor, let me tell you.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yeah.
But it's just.
It's great.
Boom, 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 boom. Like, it's just.
This will win semi-final too, I think. Oh, it'll top the tally vote easily. Oh, and it's going to be tense. Waiting for the votes to come in on Eurovision between this and Finland, I think. It could go either way depending on the live performance, but I wouldn't be mad if this one instead.
No, I wouldn't be mad. No, yeah. Like when I heard, because I don't pay attention to the songs until all of the songs are available from the national juries. And when I heard that there was murmurings of like, there's a song about somebody being possessed by Edgar Allan Poe. And I was like, oh, it's going to be some like Florence the Machine, something that I'm not really into, whatever. And then when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, this is incredible.
So good. It's so, so good. It's like
a
little bit spooky, but still firmly like a pop banger. Like, I loved it. I can't speak
highly enough about it. Imagine writing the song. You'd be just so pleased with yourself.
Edgar Allan Poe, Beyond the Grave, must be so proud that he possessed either Taya or Selena to write the song. I don't know which one he's possessed.
I think it's also kind of like they were saying, it's a commentary.
He's such a good writer.
Who the hell is Edgar? That sounds like we'll be quoting it forever. But it's so also good. Like a bit of a commentary on like the treatment of women in the music industry. I was like, imagine it's just great.
It's great. And it's more of that kind of like weird and wonderful thing that we like in Eurovision. Do you know, we can listen to regular pop songs on the radio any day of the week. This is why we want Eurovision.
Yeah.
It's for songs like this and for cha-cha-cha.
Both of which have simple choreo.
Very simple.
So it can blow up on TikTok.
Yeah. So good. So, so good.
Oh, I can't wait for it. Yeah, I haven't seen the staging either. Can't wait.
No, I can't wait. I'm going to be so surprised. I hope I do a cry like you cried. No,
oh my God, if you cry, then you'll understand.
I don't. I'll cry.
You'll be moved by the beauty.
I will. Yeah. R.I.P. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, this is you.
So Albania next.
Yeah.
Albina and the Familia Kelmendi.
Mm-hmm.
Duje, I think. So it's more witches.
She's a witch.
I love it. She's a witch, and there's a family of witches with her, helping her sing the song. It's really weird. I love it. The opening, do you know that like meme on TikTok a while back where it was like the opening of a movie set in the Middle East in America?
Yes.
Like that's what this song opens with. And like, spoiler alert, I actually think they must have been raging when Spain came out and kind of did it a little bit better, I think. Like, no disrespect to Albania. Mm. I think it's a good song. I think it's going to qualify. My only nervousness around them is I watched a live performance and they did seem really nervous. Like, some members of the families just seemed like they were a bit shell-shocked on the stage or something. They didn't know how to move or whatever. So that is a worry. Mm. And also, like, I really like this song. I looked it up. It's very unpopular in a lot of the groups. Oh. Yeah, it's not predicted to qualify in. Like, a lot of people don't like it. Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Which is crazy. I really like it. And I hope it does qualify. Yeah.
I like any song that starts off with a woman just, like, warbling a long note.
Yeah. Yeah. And she must have been raging when Spain came out. I don't know which one came out first, but, like, it must have been raging.
And she has a hood. She has a black hood in the live performance. Yes. So that's good.
They're all wearing black except for one woman wearing white.
Yes. Mysterious. Yes. And I think there's going to be like a story, like an emotional journey we go on with the performance. I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be nice. I like it.
I just hope that they can overcome their nerves because they did look very nervous, especially the one sister in the back.
Yes. No, I saw her and she looked so worried. She looked surprised to be on stage. She was like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So I really hope that that it works because I think they are really talented. They're it sounds really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I wonder if they're going to keep us engaged.
Yeah, I like it. No, I like it a lot. And then we got Lithuania. We've got Monica Linkite. Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, so Stay. I like this song a lot. I didn't. How did I feel about the song? I was okay with it, but then I saw the live performance, and I think she's actually a really good singer, and I quite like what they're doing with it. She has some like backing singers with her. I think she has the range for it, so I'll be able to comfortably watch her sing the song. And I think also, like with last year, they had a like Lithuania sent, oh, what's her name? It was Monica something.
Oh, I loved her. She was like,
yeah. So it wasn't a song that particularly kind of blew me away beforehand, but her live performance, it was a one lady in a glamorous dress with a like, fabulous haircut.
Dressed as Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, dressed as Liza Minnelli. Sparkling on the on the Eurovision dance on the Eurovision stage, so I don't think she's as charismatic as her, but I think it could be a really nice performance.
Yeah, and she is. It is a second year in a row sending a girl wearing an interesting outfit. Just very interesting, basically.
Yeah, sleeves.
Just sleeves. Yeah, but this is more like her outfit seems constructed of different types of sleeves. I think it's really good. I think it really builds. I think it's going to qualify. I think it's a lovely song. There is a trend this year of having songs that are mostly in English, but then finishing in like a different language. I think the third or the fourth that happens, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be simple, but it's simple but effective choreography and staging. I think it's good. I think it's a good song. It's a lovely song.
And I think also, again, it's a song that's a song.
Yes, it's just a song.
And I think, and with a bit, with the Lithuanian, the Suto Tuya, whatever, like the chorus motif is, that's like a kind of like, it's kind of like a lullaby motif, I think, from Lithuania. So again, a song about like being nice to yourself and self-care.
Yeah.
Which is what we need.
Which is what we need. Yeah. And then finishing semi-final two, we've got Australia, Voyager with Promise. I think this is a great little closing song for semi-final two. I think it's interesting musically. Australia are on a very good run of sending qualifiers, you know, but not winners. I think it's only a matter of time before we have an Aussie winner, though. I think we're really building from last year.
Yeah.
Last year they did a lot better than they expected, a lot better than we expected. Like, they were on the left side of the board for a long time before they moved over to the right.
Go ahead.
No, my notes on the staging, I just wrote intense staring.
Is this in the video?
Yeah.
He is, because he's saying the same. He's like,
intensely staring.
Have you ever done this, something like this before?
Have you ever done this before? If you haven't, you haven't lived or whatever. Like, yeah, I think it's good. I enjoy it. I'm going to qualify.
I'm happy. They are big Eurovision fans, apparently. So I think that they're going to give it a good job on the night. I don't really know what to think about this song, but I know from last year with Australia where I kind of completely wrote it off. But then on the night, Sheldon Riley did an amazing performance. So I'm kind of going, like, I'm giving them kind of more credit at this stage because I'm like, they're going to do great on the night.
I think they will. I think they take it very seriously.
Yeah.
I think they have to be a lot more careful than other Eurovision countries to always send top quality people because they're on thin ice.
Yeah.
Just geographically speaking, being in Eurovision. But honestly, like, I think we'd miss Australia if they left at this point. Like,
absolutely.
I think they're doing really, really well. They're doing a lot more for Eurovision than Ireland are.
Yeah.
So no, fair play. And I really enjoyed it. It's a nice song. It's not going to win.
No.
I think it will probably get through the semi-final, and I think it's going to get a couple of like eights, a couple of tens. It might get 1-12.
I do like, there is a lot of like rock bands this year.
There's a lot. Yeah. It's kind of moving a little bit away from pop, isn't it? In a lot.
That's what I was saying. Like, it's rare that we have so few songs that are songs. We just have a lot of rock bands.
Yeah.
And like boy rock bands. I know Denmark sent a girl rock band last year, but we have a lot of boy rock bands. Which is just sort of interesting to note, which, because Eurovision for a while wasn't a band kind of thing, but no, they're going now.
The pop girlies. No, they are. And I think it's great. I think it's there's more interesting songs.
Yeah. Bigger songs.
Bigger songs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just realized that we probably have our Big Five plus Ukraine in different order.
I literally just realized that as well.
So why don't you go first with whoever's the top of yours, and I'll go with
please,
we'll just do it that way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I have France.
Okay.
Lazara. I know. And it's, her song is called Évidemment, and I just, it's like if Kylie and Roisin Murphy had a French baby.
Oh my god.
Do you say diva? I don't think we have a lot of divas this year. Because even Albania, she's like a quiet diva. Mm. We've got hat, we've got nails, we've got dress, we've just got video performance, we've got disco, we've got staging, we've got performance, we've got expression, we have a journey through song. I just think it is so, France are just France have really just been nailing it.
They really have. I think we are within 5 years, definitely, maybe even less, of a France win, I think.
Yeah.
They're really, really pulling out all the stops. One thing that France do better than anybody else is send a beautiful woman in a stunning outfit, wearing a strong red lip and just a microphone. And we all fall in love. And they've done it again. Like, that is their niche, and they stay there, and it's great. It's a brilliant song. And I just want to say as well that, like, more than other years, the reason I think that this is like stronger than last year's Eurovision is I really feel like every single one of the big six are bringing it.
Yeah.
They are acting like I don't know if they all succeed, but they're all trying.
You're dead right, because what actually makes this Eurovision great is the big six. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the semifinals had their dodge, just stellar big six.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, they're all really, really good.
Like, I think France could win.
Yeah, for some reason your microphone gets really loud sometimes.
Oh, sorry, I think I'm just close to it. Hold on. Is it okay now?
Yeah,
sorry, I am moving around because I'm trying to laugh. I'm trying to laugh off mic.
It's just going to have some shouty moments. But listen, people are listening to this podcast for audio quality.
Listen, I'm trying my best. What I will say I've learned from last year's podcast is I spoke way too fast last year, and I kept saying over you. So this time I'm now just emphatically nodding a lot. So if you don't like the audio quality, don't listen to last year's. But it's not the quality; it's the quality of my voice.
If you don't like the podcast, if you don't like, how long have we been talking now? Like an hour and a half.
Can you imagine?
And now they're like, oh, now I can switch it off.
Yeah. No, but I will say, actually, just to name check more friends to see who listens. So Dolan was texting me today and they said that they weren't mad about this year. But I wonder, had they just listened to the semifinals? Because I think I'm so mad about this year because of the Big Six.
They brought the level of the competition in the final.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really strong.
Oh, and it's going to be such a good final. Yeah.
It is going to be a fight to the death for all the mid-level places.
Yes.
And I can't think of anyone who deserves to be in 20th place. I don't. This is a bold prediction. I'd be surprised if we had anyone finishing on nil pois this year.
If we do, or if we don't.
If we do.
If we do, if people,
because I think that people will get votes.
Yeah. from the I think everybody, like, I think all everybody will have their favorite that they back.
Well, it depends who qualifies, because there can always be shock ones. Like, what if everyone's like, "Oh, Finland's going to get through," and then they don't vote? So, yeah, that's
no. I was just thinking of 2021, and I remember like the UK and the Netherlands. They both got 0 points, but they were a big five. So, they
were, or big six. In.
Yeah. So, well, I did like the Netherlands one, but yeah, but they didn't have any public backing. So, yeah, you're right. No, I just want to say, like, I think this could win. And I'm surprised that France have done such a big job of it, because they're hosting the Olympics next year. And I was like, oh, I would have thought they wouldn't have wanted to have the Eurovision. But I think maybe they do want to have the Eurovision next year.
They've got the Olympics and they've got the Rugby World Cup in a few months. Wow. So there's a lot of stuff going on in France for the next year. Maybe they do want it. Yeah. They are playing as if they want it.
Oh, God, yes.
I wouldn't be mad if this won. I don't think it will. And also, actually, just to name check more friends, we forgot to do a shout out to Rachel, who said that Austria was the only one that was going to make it to her running playlist. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. Was it Austria? Was it Armenia? No, she liked Malta. Hang on, let me check. We do need to name.
I'm sure it was Austria.
We do need to name check our friends. Hang on. Just you talk. You do the next one while I find out.
Okay, sorry. So I'll start. So the one that's top of my list, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Tvorchi, Heart of Steel. So this song, they're moving away from their last couple of years where they were sounding kind of more like folk music, to this song is pretty understandably like, it's about standing up for yourself and speaking up for yourself. So it's undeniably a weaker song than the last 2 years, but Ukraine don't want to win this year, I'm pretty sure. It is great staging. It's great staging. It's really creative use of like light boxes and stuff. And I think it will benefit from having some solidarity votes. And I think it could very easily finish in the top 10. For me, it's not a winner, but it's not a bad song by any stretch. Like, I really enjoy it. It's good.
I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because we haven't had like hip hop that much. And again, that's what, like, last year had like Ukraine had some hip hop vibes. This has some hip hop vibes with like with organ, which I always love a bit of blending. Because I kept being like, what the heck are Ukraine going to do for their song this year? And I was like, this is actually a perfect, like, this is so, like, again, just an incredible Eurovision country. This is completely perfect for what they have to do this year. They have to send like a middle range, like a song that's not so good is going to win.
Yeah.
But a song that stands up for themselves, which is what it does. And just sort of, like, I think it's great.
Yeah. Also, I think like, I'm delighted for Ukraine to be sending this. I think it's great. Really enjoyable song.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
I have the text. Rachel said she's a real soft spot for Austria, which is correct. The Maltese song is currently the most likely to make her running playlist due to Moldova, like Sunstroke Project vibes. Again, but Malta had the sax solo. She also likes Armenia, which is, we also did like it, in fairness.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So well done, Rachel.
Well done, Rachel. Okay, who's next?
Germany, Lord of the Lost, Blood and Glitter. You don't need a lot of words and songs sometimes. You just got to say them over and over again while wearing a one-legged jumpsuit.
Yes. Germany is back. After sending a good few years of very weak songs, this is phenomenal. It's another kind of heavy song, but it's fun at the same time. It's fun and it's angry.
Yeah.
I really, really, really enjoy it. Like, we are Blood and Glitter.
And it's glam.
And
I didn't realize.
Really glam.
I thought I'd get, much like with Finland, like, I was expecting it to be like a lordy, like a dark, like kind of like Finland last year, just like a dark metal rock band. But then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, he has like sparkly headgear and he's glam. I was like, oh, I get it now.
They're fully dressed like kind of Priscilla Queen of the Desert style.
Yes,
I was like, that's kind of,
I didn't think it'd be camp, but it is. Yeah,
it is. It's great. How did you not think a song called Blood and Glitter would be camp?
I think I just didn't. Yeah, I didn't hop onto the glitter bit. I just saw the blood bit, and you know I don't like blood.
So, and
I
was like there's like a lot of that. Like,
Watch yourself. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't.
I think it's really, really good. I'm delighted that they're in Eurovision.
Final. Because I'm always so, like, we need to have Germany, like, because they sent Lena and Satellite. Like, we love Germany, but they just send us some crap sometimes. So I'm delighted that they've done this.
Yeah. And it just goes to show, because the turnaround from last year to this year was 1 year. So listen to us, RTE. You can do this. It's within your power.
Last year was atrocious.
It was atrocious. Yeah. Oh. And this is great. It's phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And again, weird.
Again. Yeah. Lovely and weird.
Techno weird. And yeah. Germany, I don't know if they'll ever sing in German. It'd be interesting.
I don't think they will.
We don't need them to, I guess.
No,
I
but
know, I don't know.
I think they should stick to the kind of more techno vibes. Like that's what we all think of when we think of Germany, you know, music wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think stick to that. Send it. We love it. We'll eat it up every time.
I'm so glad. This is so good. Yeah. Yeah. So amazing. Good, yeah. I'm great.
Okay, I'll go next. So my next one is the UK. So it's Mae Muller. The song is I Wrote a Song. The UK are absolutely gunning for a win in their own right in the next few years. This is a real like continuation of what Sam Ryder did last year. Like it's very, very, very good. I think it's not going to win because there are some better songs in my opinion, but watch this space for a UK win. The only kind of bad thing that I can think to say about it is Rina Sawayama made some videos that really hinted that she was going to be the Eurovision entry, and boy, she set Mae Muller up. Like I'd be pissed off because Rina Sawayama would have 100% cleaned up in Eurovision. But you know, like this is a really, really good song. Like I think it's great.
Yeah, when I
And again, look where they were 2 years ago.
Yes, literally zero.
Yeah, literally zero.
Yeah. When I saw the title, I was like, oh no, flashbacks to Norway man Alexander Rybak. I was like, oh, don't do meta songs, or don't do songs about writing songs. But she's great. They're so lucky to have her. Heard the video. She's so fun. This is what I was thinking, like with the Poland song. I was like, oh, if she can sell this song, it'll be fine. Like regardless of like the kind of superficiality of whatever. Yeah. Mae Martin, super fun, great girl.
Mae Muller. Mae Martin.
What did I call her? Mae Martin. Oh, she's some other singer. I think I like.
No. Mae Martin is the non-binary comedian. Oh, yeah. Who's currently Muller. On Taskmaster. Doing a great job.
Call her May. No, she is doing a great job. Super fun pop song. I was like, she's up a bit against Austria and Norway, maybe for like the pop song, kind of pop girly. But again, do we have that many like pop girlies this year? I think
actually benefit now that you bring that up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great. I think it'll be mid level. I think it's going to be one of those fighting for its life to stay on the left side of the board.
Yeah. But I think she'll have a great time. We'll have a great time watching her. Yeah. I think she's great.
Yeah, like it's not a skip. It's not a toilet break. None of the big, actually, really, none of them are kind of toilet breaks. Well, okay, I say that, and I'm about. Oh no, you go next.
Oh my god. Okay, great. Italy.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's what I was going to say.
Marco Mengoni.
Yeah.
Due vite. Shout out to a friend, Verity. Sorry for having to listen to me sing this song because I love it.
Do you love it? Oh wow.
Actually, okay. I went on it. It is a well-groomed man singing and emoting. He is wearing a sleeveless vest, like only an Italian man could.
Yep.
He, shout out to him because he did Eurovision in 2013 when Italy rejoined after not being in. So he started the whole thing that led to Maneskin. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's done Eurovision before. He's experienced. I obviously adore whenever Italy sings or when anyone sings in Italian.
And they always sing in Italian.
And they always do because they should. They sang once in English. It didn't work out. Yeah. I love the journey the song brings me. I love the journey that this song brings me on. Starts off small. Beat comes in the second verse. Big vocals, then ends small. Again, it's just a song.
It is. Song. So this is my criticism of it. Like, I do agree with you. Like,
yeah.
It's lovely. He's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
It's the only song of the big six that I kind of was like, okay, this song's a bit too long.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
I wonder, would it qualify if it wasn't automatically qualified?
How interesting.
Like if you put it in semifinal two, where would it sit? That's my only criticism of it.
How interesting. Yeah.
It's not a toilet break, but I think it's the weakest of the big six.
I wasn't that fussed on it until I saw his performance at San Remo.
So you fancy him.
I don't fancy him. I just think he's incredibly well groomed. No, and he's earnest. Like he's completely faking it potentially. He's telling me, but also
I hope he is because otherwise that's too much.
No, I know. I just I think I saw him sing it and I was like, this is gonna be incredible. Because again, like Italy, like Grande Amore, like I wasn't that fussed in it initially, and then live performance, they always just do amazing. Again, it's a song about going to sleep. It so
is. Yeah, I think just the third song.
I have made a note of four.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, I don't hate it. No hate. I don't see it spending too much time on the left side of the board on finals night, just with a lot of the other competition that could potentially be there.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, though. I think it's a song that's a song. It's a song that's a song.
It's a song that's a song. Yeah.
Last okay. One. Last one, Spain. Blanco Paloma. Yeah.
I think that's it.
Albania, like as I said before, will be raging because I think Spain have done a better version of their song, or at least a song that sounds enough like their song that people will compare the two. And this is, I think, the better one. Mm-hmm. It's another witch.
Yes, she is a witch. Yes.
I really, really hope it does well. I think it really modernizes a traditional sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the staging. Okay, so I only watched the first minute of the staging.
Okay.
And it's phenomenal. Did you watch it?
No, I think I saw the music video.
It is incredible. Like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. It's so, so good. They've just done such a good job. Really interesting choreography. Really, like, at one point they make a witch's circle type thing. Like,
oh, I'm great.
Obsessed. It's great. So, like, this for me, I think, it's a top five.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really, really loved it.
For me, I do like it, but I kind of respect, it doesn't go anywhere. It just starts at 8.5 and stays there, which I don't mind.
No, that's fair, yeah.
Again, she sings about sleep, and I just want to say, my friend Iona doesn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays there at that same kind of pitch and kind of like intensity. I think it does drop off a little bit when she does the more vocally bit, but then it goes back up, like, I get it. I totally get it. I quite like it because of that. I think it's really different for Spain. They're really just like leaning into being Spanish or being like Andalusian or wherever she's from, like the kind of culture of it all. No, I think it's great.
Yeah, I think like that's so interesting. I wonder what Iona's going to think of the staging, because I think it was the staging that really, really sold it to me. And I was okay, they're bringing it. Like, they're really selling us the song.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's great. But I think like the whole Big Six.
Yeah.
Congratulations, guys. You'd never know that you didn't have to try to make it to the finals.
That's why I was kind of annoyed with them, because I was like, yous are doing such a good job. Like, and yous are earning your spot almost.
Yeah.
By really, paying for it.
Yeah. But they really are this year, like, can't be mad at any of them.
No. Yeah. Like, last year, obviously, was mad at Germany. But this year, no.
And most years, mad at the UK.
Yeah.
But this is good. So, Deirdre.
Yeah,
now that we've gone through every single song.
Yeah,
who is your top five?
Okay, great.
Have a top five.
I did a top three.
Okay.
But I also then have a top seven, actually. So my top three,
like all the prime numbers except five.
Well,
top five. No, I have every single other odd number between 1 and 10, but not five.
No, okay, this is weird, actually. I think I wonder, does it stay the same now that I've had this conversation with you? So my top three was Czechia, Finland, and Austria. And then my other, those are who I want the top three to be, and then either Finland or preferably Finland, maybe Austria winning. I think I want Finland to win, but if Austria win, I don't mind. I would like Czechia. Actually, I don't think Czechia is going to be top three, like. But
I don't have that in my top 10 even. Sorry.
Yeah.
To check it.
That's okay. And then just my top seven, I have France and Italy. And sorry, I'm questioning myself. Sorry. I wrote Serbia and Georgia. I don't remember right. I wrote it yesterday, but I think I might have changed my mind since then.
Wow.
But I don't know. Like, I really like Latvia, but I just don't see it kind of. There are a lot of like middle-ish songs.
Table is packed.
There's not a lot of standout songs in a way. Actually, I don't have Sweden there at all. Let me go through it again. Hold on. Like, Armenia is gas, but I don't kind of care about where it goes. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of like in the middle songs. I wonder, like, Slovenia, Australia, Lithuania. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to stick. Okay. My top five. Okay. No, I've done it. Hang on. Let me just delete these two. Okay. Czechia. Yes,
please delete them before you say it orally on this podcast where no one can see your screen.
I'm thorough with my auditing. Deirdre's top. No, I'll change three to five. Deirdre's top five. Czechia, Finland, Austria, France, and Italy. Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So my predicted top five, and again, this is in no particular order.
Okay.
I've got Finland, obviously. Austria, obviously. I also put Spain in there.
Yeah.
I put France in there. And yeah. I put Sweden in there.
Yeah.
Because I think that you can't discount Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not like my opinion top five best songs, but that's what I think will be the top five.
Yeah. I don't know if my top five is my opinion or what my prediction. I think it's a mixture of both.
Because I don't know if I'm writing off Loreen or not, but like I do think that she will do really well.
Yeah.
I think it would be disappointing for Sweden if she doesn't get top 10.
I think she'll even get like she could maybe no, because it is a good like it'll work for the jury and it'll work for the public.
Yeah, that's the thing. She has a lot of fans. So
yeah.
Who watch Eurovision. So yeah.
And like if you think of like Alexander Rybak came back with that stupid song about writing a song and he actually did really well.
Yeah.
That's and it. that was a bad song.
Yeah. So having a fan base.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't all be Johnny Logan. You can't win every time.
No. No. And I say if she doesn't win, she'll come back again. Try again.
I think she will. And I think it'll be great again.
Yeah. 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 She's great.
She's great. I'm just really happy with Eurovision 2023. And I'm excited for the final night.
Because I think there's a lot of genre of music in here that I wouldn't like listen to. Like I would never listen to the Latvia song. Like that's not my genre at all. You know, so it's just I'm kind of just being like just listen to different sorts of music. I like it.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody for Eurovision 2023.
Well done to everybody involved. Honestly, it's hard. Oh, can I say one thing about so last year obviously didn't watch any of the videos. Because I wanted to be surprised, but then I realized I needed to do some research if I was going to try and at least talk about it with some authority. So I did watch the videos. And what I realized was I was absolutely mortally mortified because the state of us doing our national song selection on the Late Late Show in a tiny TV studio. And I'm not the first person to say this. And there's definitely been people who said it before me. It was only when I saw the national content and the national level competitions from other countries that I was like, oh shit, even Malta, which is a tiny country.
Every single country that has a national final was better than ours. Every single one.
Yeah.
And so not I look, like quality of music, quality of staging.
Yeah. Malta, they're a tiny country. They had like an arena. Lithuania had a mid-sized venue, but that still worked because you can't, like you have to have that level of staging to at least be able to figure out what level to gauge your performance at. Like, you just need to change.
So badly. I really want to give it to Tiki Carr. I really want to give it to Tiki Carr.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job with Junior Eurovision.
Yeah.
Just give them regular Eurovision. I think it would be good crack.
Yeah. And we get an Irish language song.
Yeah. 100%, which we need. We need to send an Irish language song.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Because an Irish language song, if it's in any way good, and we know this from having been teenagers at the Gaeltacht, if an Irish language song is in any way good, like it will take over here. Like people will sing it, like in schools and everything like that. And that's who you need to start spreading songs and stuff. That's to build up an interest in Eurovision.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Because also it's like one of the things I was thinking about kind of just in general. And then also because like we're always about like who's going to win. But like, and obviously Eurovision's a contest. You get a trophy at the end. But it's so interesting. Like, it's not sometimes about who wins. It's like whose song gets played longest. I was like, there were songs played on Friday night at Eurobash that like didn't win, didn't do that well, you know. And I was like, but we didn't say who, like, it was just like, we're like, no one's ever going to like party to Portugal 2017, you know?
Never. Never.
But we'll boogie on down to some random song from like 2006 or something. It's a very interesting thing that I think like the fan, like it's a kind of a thinking point or a kind of, it's an understanding that fans can bring to the contest where it's like everybody, the news coverage will always be like, who's winning? Who's winning? Who's winning? And it's like, no, it's about who the fans love.
that's 100% it. And this is where I think like Ireland has really failed in the last few years because we are trying to win Eurovision.
Yeah.
Rather than picking just a genuinely good song that's good on its own, that could get airplay on its own.
Yeah.
You need to send that kind of song. And that's where again, no disrespect to the band Wild Youth. I'm sure they're lovely boys. And I know that they are Eurovision fans. And one of them, I think his mother passed away and they used to watch Eurovision together. So it's a big like emotional thing for him to be into Eurovision. And that's like lovely and great.
Yeah.
So no disrespect to them at all. But something like Connolly's song was just better.
Oh,
It would have been so good. Would it have qualified? Who knows? Like, it still wasn't a sure thing or whatever. But I just think that, like, just in terms of the type of thing we should be doing,
yeah,
it's more, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. 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 You never know. They might be great on the night, Wild Youth.
They probably will be, because they're a polished band. Like, they were good on the Late Late. Like, that's how they won.
And they've supported, like, other, like, they've played big venues.
Yeah. Like, they probably will be really, really good, but the song itself is embarrassing. And I think it's not going to do well because it feels patronizing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we're all the same. Ooh.
Yeah. And it's like, unless they have really great imagery or something, or even like, I rewatched like a bit of like the Late Late Show one, and like they had like, no disrespect to the backing singers, but just like they had some singers, but they were just sort of bopping. They weren't like, it wasn't polished.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what happens when you're on a somewhat, even if they hired the Three Arena for a night, please. Like, we keep trying to get these like rugby and football world tournaments to come to Ireland. Can they just give us like, I don't know, how much money is it to rent the Three Arena for a night so we can put on a Eurovision show? Like,
yeah, you don't even need to do the Three Arena. Do it in the Olympia. Like, it would be just as good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know?
Or the Helix, they used to do the voice there. Yeah. Oh,
God, I hate the Helix though. That's too far away. No.
It is too hard to get to, yeah.
Pitch the Olympia.
Okay. Yeah, my bus goes from there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We can get chips on the way home.
I thought they can get DeFontaine's.
Yeah. Zaytoons.
Yeah. There's just so many options. Yeah, the Helix, sorry to DC, sorry, but your venue has nothing. Yeah.
You have to fucking drive there.
And the sound, actually, no, the sound was awful there. Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah, it sounds really bad.
Yeah. So sorry to DC.
The Olympia.
Yeah. It has to be the Olympia.
It does, because it's cute. Or even the Gaiety, because the Eurovision in like the 70s or 80s was hosted from the Gaiety, like when we won in the 70s. Well, after venue. Dana. Yeah.
Another great venue. Yeah.
Stunning.
But we have to start taking it seriously if we want to win.
Yeah. I think I wanted to say they know, like, will we write them a letter?
I don't know. I think they don't. I think it's like everything else at RTE. It's like the group of people who are in charge are so detached from the reality of day-to-day life. But also, the thing of it is, so I was thinking about this the last day. Like, we acknowledge that we don't understand the Eurovision voter.
Yeah.
And RTE have to represent every single person in Ireland because we all pay the license fee if you pay your TV license.
Yeah, which you should.
Which you should. But they have to represent everybody. So they can't take risks because of that. They have to do lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
So that it appeals to everybody. And I think that, unfortunately, sorry to the band Wild Youth, that's what you get. I think that we just need kind of maybe more like a braver, like, head of delegation to take the risks and say, no, this is kind of, we need to move in this direction. Yeah. I also think that, like, we need to do work to make good bands want to be in Eurovision.
Yeah.
You know, so it needs to become like not a cringe thing to do.
I've been thinking a lot about that, because we do have that notion of like, and I think it's kind of similar. I think the UK have managed to turn it around, because again, I remember like Cheryl Cole being on like Graham Norton, and he was like, how would you do Eurovision? And she was like, no way. She's like, because it was a case of like,
so did Rita Ora, who's now fucking hosting Eurovision.
Yeah, Rita Ora, we're delighted to have you on the show, Rita.
Yeah.
Go model some clothes on some red carpet. Like, I just
bring your boyfriend Taika Waititi.
Yeah, put him on stage instead.
Put him on stage, yeah.
Yeah, we love him. No, I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she'll do a good job. But it was a cringe thing for the UK as well. And I think it's a cringe thing here. And I kind of like, we just need to kind of like, just get over it. Like, just literally don't pay attention to being cringe and just be earnest and do it. Because the UK have managed to do it now. Like, and you know, and it's kind of, when you saw May, whatever her surname is, can't remember, the current UK lady, May Muller. Yeah. Like, she was super excited to be representing the UK. Like, there was no cringe about it.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from, like, the fact that we do it in a stupid TV studio on a Friday night. Like, it's an afterthought. It's an afterthought, you know?
100%. 100%. I think if we need to put in the effort.
Like, if we took it seriously, if we did a proper performance, bands would be okay for going for it.
Yeah. So we need to do work to make it, like, not cringe to be in Eurovision. Yeah. It needs to be a thing that people want to do.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk for a little while about how good a job the UK is doing? Much at all as we didn't want the UK to win. I think they're doing a great job. with the whole hosting.
Oh, the hosting. Can I just say, well, one more thing before we do that. Just my musings on entry into continuous entry into the Eurovision. And I was like, you wouldn't have Alexander Rybak, you wouldn't have Loreen coming back into the Eurovision if it wasn't, you know, because like they're not considering it as being cringe. The Eurovision Song Contest is part of the music industry. It employs a huge number of musicians across Europe. You know, people who compete for Austria 1 year are doing the backing vocals for Germany the next. Like everybody's employed at both the international level and the national level. There's a huge amount of work that goes into it and like employment. So that's really great. But I was just thinking about Messi. So the footballer guy. And I was like I think because I listened to a podcast about him before the World Cup. No, but I was thinking about him because everybody knew that he wanted to win the World Cup. It was the only thing that he hadn't won. And he was going to continuously try to win the World Cup with Argentina. And everyone kind of like, no one was embarrassed for him when he, like, or they were like, oh, it's a bit shit. Like he lost, whatever. Like, but no one was like, oh, how cringe of him for wanting this, you know? And I was like, it's not cringe to want something. It's the highest level of in the music industry of like awards of that level kind of thing. You know, I just don't think it's cringe to want to win the Eurovision. Like Linda Martin tried for a million years to win the Eurovision and she eventually got there. You know, she kept going and going and going. And I just think it's interesting. Like, I think it could be seen like if you keep trying to enter Eurovision, like Loreen entered in 2017 and didn't get through, but tried again this year and did get through, you know. I just think it's interesting what we allow people to try at.
Well, I think though that the problem, it's less that it's cringe to want to win Eurovision. I think that it would be seen as too big a risk that you lose Eurovision. Because that's the problem here, that it's like the pressure's too high.
Yeah.
And also like, because we have sent Jedward twice, and Dustin the Turkey once.
Yeah.
I think that we have to do internal PR to say, no, this is a thing that genuine serious musicians enter to win prizes and notoriety and blah, 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 blah. And I think like that's kind of coming from like other bands like Maneskin, I think have done great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, proper, like no disrespect to other winners, but just like that they're like a proper, proper band that people like before. They're like, oh, wow. Okay. So like proper bands win and then they go and play gigs and people love them.
Yeah.
And I think Sam Ryder, like last year in the UK, a lot of people really liked him. It's, you know, so I don't know. I think other countries maybe are making it less of a joke. I do think that like we as a country need to stop treating it like it's 2003 and you can just send any old shite.
Yeah.
Because there's no jury vote.
And like just what, like, who just like, we almost sent Johnny Rotten, you know, it was like, who made that? Just like, who was thinking that was in any way a good idea? Like, with a bad song. It's not even about sending Johnny Rotten. I don't know anything about him, but I was like, the song was complete crap.
Yeah. If it was a good
sorry
song,
to his wife.
No problem. Like, RIP. I think she died.
Yeah. Like, I don't mean, I don't mean to speak
but it was a bad song.
It was a bad song.
Yeah.
And I just worry. Yeah.
Whoever's making those decisions does not have our Eurovision best interests at heart.
How do we get those jobs? Employ us.
I don't know. I don't think we'd want them. And I think we'd be bad at it if we got them in a different way. We'd be like aiming way too high. We'd be just like emailing like, okay, got to email CMAT. Very busy. She's been on tour for like.
No, it would just be like, which version of a witch are you able to pick from? There'd just be six witches you'd have to pick from.
Yeah. I do think we need to send a witch. I'm a big fan of sending a witch.
That was it. We almost had Connolly. Next time.
Next time. Next time.
Yeah.
I hope she tries again, and I hope she tries again with an Irish language song.
But that's what I mean. It's like if Connolly came back again, like, and if like even next year or the year after, that's like again, like I'd love to see Patrick O'Sullivan, who competed last year.
He had such a good voice.
I would love to see him back again. That's what I was like. It needs to be. There's an ecosystem, and Eurovision is one part of that ecosystem. It's like if we can just cultivate that little beautiful I'm gesturing with my hands. But even like the interval act that they had at the Eurosong thing, like, was it Jess Kavanagh or something?
Jess Kavanagh is so good.
Incredible voice.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
She is brilliant.
They had all these amazing people in the interval act.
Shout out to Jess Kavanagh if you are listening and you've made it this far in the podcast. Congratulations. We think you should go to Eurovision.
Yeah. But just everybody in the interval act had these amazing voices. Half the people doing actual songs couldn't hit the notes.
But this is the thing though, like those, like, they're booked and busy.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true. You have to give like 3 or 4 months of your life away for Eurovision. Yeah, you're dead right. You have to clear that schedule.
Got to clear that schedule.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what Ireland needs to do. The UK are doing a great job.
Oh yeah, you wanted to say UK doing a great job hosting.
I think they have picked some great hosts. I'm glad that they're bringing Graham Norton out from behind the microphone so that everyone can enjoy him. Because much and all, and I do love Marty Whelan, Graham Norton's also a very good commentator, and I do often look back at his commentary of certain songs to see what he said, because it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. If I lived in the UK, I would miss Marty, but I would happily listen to him. Mel Giedroyc is going to be fantastic taking over the Mel Giedroyc is doing the commentary while he's on the stage.
I remember when they hosted 1998 and Terry Rowan walked out onto the stage, did his little intro bit, and then like ran up to the commentary box. Oh, so Graham isn't going to be doing any commentary?
He's going to be doing some. He's going to split it with
her. So that's nice.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be great.
That's great.
I think she's going to be phenomenal because she's such a positive, happy,
yes, she's lovely,
great person.
Yeah.
Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso and stuff, she is hilarious, brilliant. If you haven't seen her presenting the Olivier Awards, just Google bits of it. She is so funny, and she's also gorgeous and just so enthusiastic. Sure. They've really picked a bunch of people who are just yes and.
Yeah.
They've got Rylan, I think, is hosting the semifinals, and he is a Eurovision super fan. So I'm delighted for that. Like, they've really ticked all the boxes.
Yeah.
One criticism, maybe there could be more Ukrainian people, but the people from the UK that they've picked.
There's just the one lady, isn't it, for the final? Yeah. 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 No, I think everything they've done so far is great.
Even more. I think there's like 10 people or something they have in total.
There's loads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they pull that off, but I'm delighted. I think it's great. I think it's going to be really, really entertaining.
Yeah. And I think they're going to do a good job of being like, we're hosting this on behalf of Ukraine. Because even,
I think
Klute Orchestra, your man from that, was talking about it. And he was like, no, they seem to be like, they're really happy with kind of how it's been going and stuff. So that's good. That's the main thing.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be really, really good. I mean, the UK pull these things off really, really well. Like, we watch all these things on BBC when they come out. Like,
they're very good at doing putting on the shows.
They put on a good show.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
They do.
Yeah, it's also just very funny that like they have to because all of this was decided before like RIP the Queen, and now they have to like host a coronation and a Eurovision in the same like week.
It's so funny.
It's really funny.
I cannot wait for Eurovision to have more viewers than the coronation. I just can't wait. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, so but like obviously maybe they were trying to find the time. They were like, when do we have the coronation? They're like, oh, May 13th. And I'm like, we can't. It's Eurovision Day.
Yeah.
Like I hope Prince Charles had to have some like had to like change the event, like the date in his calendar, because he's like, oh shit, that is Eurovision Day. Although I'm jealous for Kate Middleton, because she's probably going to get to go to it. So I'm raging.
Kate Middleton's going to get to go to Eurovision.
Well, yeah, because it's always like representatives for like the heads of the state, whatever. And I don't think Charles and Camilla are going to go.
So you think it's going to be Kate and William both?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Just jealous because we didn't get tickets.
I would love if Meghan Markle showed up to that, not the coronation. That would be so good.
She comes out and they sing the Serbia song from last year.
The one thing that I don't want to see happen is I don't want to see those poor little kids exhausted and bored out of their minds, forced to sit still and be polite. I feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
Every time. Can you imagine anything more boring in your life than watching a 4-hour parade and you have to wear a suit or a little dress and just smile the whole time?
I know.
And they're like 8?
I don't know how they, yeah. I just, yeah. At least they'd like Eurovision. Hopefully they get a good, like.
Yeah, but it's still too late for them, Georgia. They should be in bed.
I know. Kids have to. Also,
have to
just.
Go to bed.
Yeah. Because Eurovision always starts at 8 o'clock UK/Ireland time. Yeah. But that meant that when it was hosted, I think I probably said this last year as well, because it's such a bugbear for me. When it was hosted in Azerbaijan, it started at like 10 or 11 at night because it had to be synced up at 8 o'clock over here. And I just think we should be a bit more flexible and have it start at 8 o'clock wherever it's hosted.
No, but that wouldn't work though, because if then it would start to, like, it has to be primetime TV, basically, in the majority of Europe.
Oh, okay. So like,
because, like, the majority of Europe is Central European time,
okay,
which is 1 hour ahead of us.
Yeah.
So it's like 9 p.m. primetime TV.
Okay. I just always remember like when Loreen was doing her like singing, like after she won, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sure you had the energy for it, but I was just like, that's just very late.
But it's worse when it's in like, well, Israel's only 2 hours ahead, I suppose. But like,
no, Azerbaijan was the furthest away. So that's the latest it's ever been. But no, you're dead right about it. It has to be central, like central prime time. So that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I spoke of that now because it was always annoying. Yeah,
so we've got little Eurovision facts at the end. God help anyone who's listening to us just have a little chat. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast again.
And Aisling, you can definitely edit out any of the random talky bits that I did. Just cut it down to a core 2 hours of content if we need to.
Absolutely not. I'm going to do so little editing on
this. Oh, perfect.
Because it's going to be really boring to listen back to for me.
You're dead right. How long have we been going now? Probably two hours.
So that's fine. That's
like the bit where you went to the bathroom and then we're fine. Yeah, and the bit where you shout at Alexa.
Yeah.
And also, five people will listen to this.
Yeah,
so
and they'll love it.
It's just for us. So I had a great time.
Five people we don't know who listen to it. Thank you for listening as well.
I had such a great time. I can't believe we agree on so much.
Well, how do we do this every year? People won't believe that we do this every year, but we literally agree on everything. And the biggest disagreement we have is, I think this song is okay. And you're like, I think it's a bit better than okay.
But I understand why you only think it's okay.
And vice versa.
I respect your opinion.
We got to have one eventually some year. There has to be one that we can have a row about. But I think we broadly agree.
Yeah, no, we do. And we respect each other's faves. Like, we're like, faves. Yeah. Oh my God, I can't wait to watch it.
I can't wait. 2 weeks.
Exciting. 2 weeks. Okay. So thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.